Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Mills. I'm looking after the airwaves for the next 3 hours for Mr. Ian Lee, who's partaking of his Xmas sabbatical, as he would call it. Please call me. You know how it works. Otherwise, I'm just a man in a room talking for 3 hours, and that's dull, so call me.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Bob Mills, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hiya, this is Bob Mills. I am in for Ian Lee for the next 3 hours. Let me get the number out straight away because I need you to call me. All Ian's people out there, call me. Treat me as a surrogate Ian, okay? 0344 499 1000 or text talk and your message to 87222 or tweet at Talk Radio, or if you want to use my tweet, that's at Bob Mills TT. But you've got to do it, seriously, because I'm not coming here. It's not like my normal Sunday night show where I'm here all prepared with stuff and go. I'm just sitting there. I'm literally just sitting here in Ian's chair. And if you don't call, well, isn't that going to be a fun 3 hours? Isn't that going to be a masterpiece of Sony award-winning radio? Me sitting there going, anyone? Hello? I'm going to be like the... You know what I'm going to be like? I'm going to be like the guy who works on the gate at Euro Disney in Paris. Hello? Anybody at all? We got fun? Yeah, lots of fun. No, it's not going to happen. James Whale, bless his heart, left me his list of dead people. So if all else fails, we'll run through that. And I've just seen on the news up there, Richard Adams has just died. He's been added to it. Richard Adams, Watership Down. It's always a tragedy when someone dies. Doesn't matter who they are, whether they're famous or not famous. And some of the music people who died, I mourn Prince, I mourn Bowie, I mourn George Michael. But for me, of course, everything is personal. Music is a personal thing. And so different things affect different people. And for me, I welled up, even though it wasn't totally unexpected because of the state of his health. I welled up at the death of this man who I first heard when I was, 14? I would have been 14, 15, me and my mate Paz, in a great big room full of frightening-looking older boys in denim. And the lights go down, and this starts. And as it's playing, you're listening and you're thinking, this is quite nice, this is quite melodic, this is kind of Nick Drakey stuff. Oh yeah, this is going to be nice. And then Parfitt walks up the front and your life's never going to be the same again. Not a music radio station. If we were, that's what I'd be doing for the next 3 hours. I'd go through the whole canon of Greatest God's World for the next year. Of course, you know what? Yeah, I'd throw in a bit of Bowie. Of course I would. And I'd throw in a bit of Prince. And I'd throw in a bit of George Michael and all the other wonderful icons that have passed away this year. But for me, that's the one that hurt. Parfitt going. Because now, Of course, I don't know, maybe Francis will carry on. You can always get a guitarist. It's not the most sophisticated chord arrangement to learn. I'm sure you get someone, and I'm sure they'll keep going in his mind. But you and I both know that those boys, and they were boys, don't forget, they're old men now, but they were boys just standing together, back and forward, just for the pure, unadulterated love of rock and roll. Because here's a statement that's going to wind you up. Yes, of course, the Stones. Yes, of course, the Who. Even the Kinks, the Beatles, of course, certainly. If you say, who's the greatest rock and roll band in the world, that discussion can go on all night. But you add one word, who are the greatest live rock and roll band in the world? And there is only one answer, and there always will be. And now, there can't ever really be again, because he's not with us. So let's move on. 03444991000, that's the telephone number. You can text the word talk and your message to 87222, or you can tweet at Talk Radio or at Bob Mills TT, which is my one. And I've got it up here in front of me. My kids bought me an Apple iPad for Christmas, so I've got it in front of me. But because I picked up the wrong charger, someone's told me I should put the brightness down a little bit to save the battery, and I don't know if I can read it. So, but do try and tweet on there if you want. Is Stephen, where is Stephen up? Have we got Stephen?
Hi there, Bob.
Hello, Stephen. You're right, mate. Stephen in Welling Garden City.
That's right. We've spoken a few times. I bet you've forgotten, but I've come on your show, and also when you stepped in for Ian when he was sick that time. Do you remember?
Yes, of course I remember. I don't have so many callers that I can just forget them.
I was one. I mean, I can never remember the names of shows. If you remember, I couldn't think of the name of I Can't Believe It. And, you know, and you said it's One Foot in the Grave and HAPPY, you know, for the hospital sitcom.
Which is called, yeah, so. Do you remember that yet?
Oh, hang on. Only When I Laugh.
Only When I Laugh. Well done. And I spent a little part of Christmas Day, and then I had to get on with family duties, just sitting on the computer watching some old Christmas specials, and I did watch the Only When I Laugh one, which is a very funny one, where they've got a bit of a night planned. They've got some hooch. They brought in some hooch, and a couple of the nurses were going to be coming round and all that. But they get a 10-year-old boy put into their ward because he's all on his own for Christmas. So they have to spend. It's a beautiful. Peter Bowles is absolutely magnificent in it. Stephen, Welling Garden City, what can we do for you?
Oh, before I go to my main thing, you mentioned the Quo. You do know that Francis Fossey's gone into acoustics, don't you?
I do, because funny enough, I saw him here in this very building in a lift about 3 weeks ago. He was in plugging that very thing. They were on their way to. Rick Parfitt was going to go solo because he couldn't. Obviously, he didn't want to be doing the tour, and Francis was going to be. It had kind of reached its, you know, reached its natural end, the band. But it is still, to me, I'm sorry, I still got a lump in my throat to think. Never again will we stand in a room full of horrible, sweaty-looking men, and the lights will go down, and those little... Because...
I know what you mean. I mean, I know what you meant about the big names, like The Who and etc., The Stones and so on, because The Quo had no pretentiousness about them. No. They were just at it, weren't they? You know, on the stage, doing the thing, rather than the posing and, you know, the Union Jack draped over their drums. You know, I mean, I'm not saying anything against The Who, you know what I mean.
I stand behind no man in my regard for that. I think they've produced three or four of the greatest pop records, music, rock records in the history of the game. And they probably, if you did the top 10 of best rock and roll bands in the world, Quo might just get into, maybe, I don't know. But if you add the word live, then that's it. It's a no-brainer. No contest. Because one compared with them. Because they didn't, there was no show, there was no stage show. Every now and again they did the silly flick their hair and go back and forth, but there was no, just...
No fireworks, no sort of catering wheels and stuff like that. Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Just, there's a train coming. And my feeling always at a Quo gig was, there's a train coming. And just like in the Mumbai Express, we're going to hang on to the side of it for 2 hours, and at the end we're going to fall off and we're going to leave the building and our ears are going to be ringing and life is going to be slightly better than it was. That's all.
Absolutely. All right. Well, going from that, it's a bit somber, passing, and I know what you mean. We've had a lot of deaths, so to try and uplift the mood a little bit. Can I mention comedy? You know, the stuff.
Of course you can, mate. Of course you can.
Right. I was going to say, well, what struck me the other day, I had a conversation with a young friend. I mean, very young. I mean, she's only, 22. Now, she's a real devotee of keeping up appearances. I was about to say Mrs. Bucket then. And you'd have said, you've forgotten that name now, but it suddenly came to me. Yeah. And I think keeping up appearances, but she thinks Father Ted is really daft and you must be a bit bonkers to like it. And what I think is, I know it sounds a bit arrogant, but I think, look, even me, given like an hour or so, I could probably write an episode of Keeping Up Appearances because it's the same formula. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I imagined it now, Mrs. Bucket has the vicar come round and he says, oh, I want to bring the bishop, and she brags to her friend, and then you know what's going to happen, something will go wrong, her relatives, who she's ashamed of, will turn up in that car that, you know, has black smoke coming out of it, and she's got to hide the vicar and so on. You know, it's sort of writable, even by a complete non-comedy writer like me. But for me to even imagine writing an episode of Father Ted is just unthinkable, because the sheer genius that went into that subtlety of, you know, surreal humour. I don't know what you think of that. You know,
well, let me tell you what I think of that, shall we, Stephen? What I think of that is you better be thanking your lucky stars that my daughter's not here. Because on a Sunday night when I do my show, my daughter, as you probably know, produces it. She's not. I've got Fraser. I've got going to have a lovely time with Fraser, producer, tonight. But my daughter, since her late, she's late 20s, right? And she's got friends. Yeah. And this is what she would say to you from that statement that you just made. She would say this. Okay, I could write this. It's easy. It's just some bloke. His dad dies, and he thinks he sees his ghost. And then there's like a big feast, and there's some, and then there's like battlements, and it's in Denmark. That Amulet, that's easy. Anyone could write that, because that's how she thinks of keeping up appearances. I've heard her at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Skype call to her friend in New York, which is in America, talking through episodes that they've just watched of Keeping Up Appearances, because the subtlety of Hyacinth Bouquet, my God, that is... No one else could do it. No one else could write it, and no one else could perform it. It is genius. The acting, the gaps between the setup and the punchline of every single thing in there is just a work of total genius. And let me tell you this, and this will surprise you, it is the highest selling sitcom. It's BBC, isn't it? I think, BBC. It's the highest-selling sitcom worldwide. They watch it everywhere. They watch it in Outer Mongolia. They watch it in Uzbekistan. They watch it in Upper and Lower Vanua. Everywhere in the world they watch it, because it represents everything that's great about our country.
Well, the snobbishness and the class thing, I get all that. But to me, I've never been able to get into it. But, I mean...
Did you ask your young friend about black books?
No, what's that?
Oh, with Bill Bailey and Dylan Moran. Because like Father Ted are very usually that black books goes in hand in hand. See, I'm surprised at someone in their early 20s not being a fan of Father Ted. Because
Go on. It's strange. I've showed a bits on the Facebook, bits from YouTube, like the classic bits where the priests get caught in the lingerie department, you know, and they're all trying to get out, and the parallels of that and being a military unit, you know, where they're all ducking down, aren't they, and that kind of thing, and that kind of surreal aspect, and I've tried to give examples, but it doesn't seem to work. No, she can't seem to take to it.
You see, The thing they both have in common, the thing that all great comedy has in common, is it must be character led, and Dermot and Ardle and the wonderful Mrs. Bucket. That's what we call her. We call her Mrs. Bucket in my house. And things like Cleese in Faulty, and it's like, why is this funny? Why is this funnier than that? And it's not the writing. It's never the writing, really. It's just the character. It's just the way they manage to do it. There's something about... I mean, there's no way that Patricia Rathbone is a funny actress. She's not a funny actress, okay? Except... Yeah. When she's given those things to do, she does it like a proper actress would do it. She acts it out properly. She doesn't try and make it arch or knowing or things like that. And that, I don't know, it's something to do with that. But, of course, the answer to your question, Stephen, what makes certain TV shows funny and not, well, nobody knows that. Otherwise, we'd all be multi-millionaires. We'd all be Darren Litton, my friend who I met recently, who writes Benidorm. We'd all be him, you know.
Someone that said, I mean, because you know, you're like an encyclopedia of comedy, listening to your show on a Sunday. I mean, my goodness, films and TV shows and stand-up, you know the lot. But and that isn't flattery. I mean, it's just a fact. But, you know, didn't somebody once say that all comedy is based on three things? It's like misunderstanding. You know, there's got to be a misunderstanding. There's got to be something else and something else.
Yeah.
Somebody said that somewhere.
Yeah, Woody Allen says there are seven jokes. There are seven jokes, and every joke that you do is a variation of one of those. It's like magic tricks. It's either something that someone thinks is something but isn't something, or it's something that somebody thinks isn't something but is something. It's very, very simple. Are you looking at me because we've got to go to a break? Have I missed a break? Is that why they're looking at me? Id's looking at me.
He's looking at you.
I'm looking at my roast dinner in front of me. But we do have to take a break shortly.
We'll take a break shortly. Did you hear that, Stephen? What it just said? He's got a roast dinner in front of him. Have you microwaved a Christmas dinner, Id?
Yeah, it's the leftovers.
I'm sitting here tonight, Stephen, in Welwyn Garden City, with a man from New Zealand, lonely and alone, 7,000 miles away from home, and a man from Sydney, Australia.
I know Faye, and they seem to get on pretty well, don't they? That's what I've heard, yeah.
Oh, of course.
It's a miracle we haven't already had a punch-up.
Because I always forget, of course, there is... What I love is the fact that New Zealand has got issues with Australia in the same way that the Isle of Wight's got issues with the rest of the United Kingdom. Anyway, listen, Stephen. Stephen, while I've got you very quickly, did you have a nice Christmas?
I did, thanks, Bob. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And this is a question that I'm going to be putting out before we go to the break. You can have it first. What is the weirdest thing you think you're going to have left over from this Christmas?
Left over? What do you mean, like consumable stuff?
Yeah, something that you thought, oh, we'll get. Have we got one of these for Christmas? We need this. I discovered on my shelf in my utility room, it was like a tower of little tins, tiny tins, smaller than even a small tin of beans, much smaller than that. There are seven of them in a little tower, all bound up very nicely, of different types of pâté foie gras. I have never in my entire life eaten pâté foie gras. I don't know anyone who's ever eaten pâté foie gras, but for some reason, I thought that we needed to have some over Christmas. So that's one of the things we're doing on the show. No, I'm not going to eat it. It looks foul. That's...
Bob, can I have a quick answer to that?
Yes, go on.
The thing I got, it's an alcohol-based thing. It's, I forget the... Well, I won't give the brand name out. It's advertising, isn't it? But it's a rum with cinnamon. And I was given a free sample in one of the big supermarket chains. And the guy said, oh, take this. It's really great. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's nice. Well, I took it back. I mean, I bought some. It's too much cinnamon. I mean, the alcohol level is, you know, quite high. I mean, you could get quite high on it, but there's too much cinnamon. It overpowers the rum, if you see what I mean. So I think for me, it will be the liquid thing that will last a long time, because I can't see myself getting through that in a hurry. You know, I mean, it'll be lingering in a cupboard, I think, you know, for some time, you know.
Stephen, bless your heart. Stephen started the ball rolling on the weirdest thing that's going to be left over from Christmas, a bottle of rum. Cinnamon rum. Why do they do that? Well, I don't drink alcohol, but I know there are different alcohols. Why do they have to put stuff in them? My kids drink a lot, and they've got there's a bottle in my kitchen, which is I kept saying, "What is that? What is it?" And it's gin with cranberries in it. I don't understand that. Well, but somebody else will. After the break, we'll talk to Sean from Leeds.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That's a funny bit of music. What's that? Is that a little bed to go underneath me?
Yeah, just to sounds just like come a bit of break.
Rather poor 1970s porn music.
Well, go on then, Bob.
Hello. So, lady here, order some pizza.
I didn't order any pizza.
Well, I don't know. The man told me to come here for pizza. It's got pepperoni.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the hell I thought that was. Right.
I kind of feel the music needed to start at the oh, my God bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John. This is what I like. John sent a very nice little text. Funny. It's a little funny, facetious text. Lovely. Dear Bob. I've been reading your romantic novels for years. The latest title, The Master Returns, is by far your greatest literary achievement ever. Was it you or Mr. Boone who chose the illustration for the flyleaf of a sassy southern belle with the downcast eyes, cut lips and the torn blouse? Best wishes and a Merry Christmas from John. There you go. People have been saying that to me for a lot. Funnily enough, because I used to have a very good friend I used to work with on a show called Games World called Tim Boone. Isn't that funny that I was Mills and he was Boone? And so people have often said to me, Mills and Boone, which is all lovely and funny. And what they failed to actually, if they looked a little bit further, they would find, in fact, that my great-great-grandfather was Gerald Rusgrove Mills, who, with his partner Charles Boone, started the Mills and Boone publishing empire. It got bought up very quickly. I want to say Harlequin. They were Canadian. They went to Toronto. He went and spent many, many years, my great-great-grandfather, in Toronto, and then he came back to England with his family, which is where my sort of side of the family comes from. But he is, and there is still a beautiful, beautiful big house in, I want to say, it's near Nairn, which is Inverness, isn't it, in the north of Scotland, which he bought and had built a beautiful house that we still go to. Sometimes it's owned by the Gerald Rusgrove Mills Foundation, and as his descendants, we're entitled to go there. And I've spent, I don't know, I haven't been for about 4 years, but last time I went, and we went up with the family and had 3 weeks there, and it's the most gorgeous thing. It's sort of between Nairn and, I want to say, Lossiemouth. Would that be right? Is that on the same coast? And it's a beautiful, great big sort of 50-room house. And they have visitors. I think 20 weeks of the year it has visitors to it because it's sort of a museum as well. Not to Mills and Boone. It's not full of old frontispieces of, you know, Victorian ladies scantily clad.
Would you say it's the perfect setting for one of the books, though?
No, I'd say it was the perfect setting, but it could be the perfect sitting. Either way, you're right. It would be because the ocean up there. That bit of Scotland is a wonderful place because it's always dark in the winter, but always light in the summer. In the summer, when we go there, it gets dark up there at about, well, we've certainly walked along the beaches at both Lairn and Lossiemouth at midnight with the dog, quite happily. And then it kind of goes dusky for a couple of hours, and then bang, the 2 a.m, the sun's back up again. So it's beautiful. But when it's rough and the weather's rough, yes, it would be a wonderful setting. So thank you very much, John, for your thing. And yes, it is funny that my name is Mills and that there is a Mills and Boone. But in fact, that's where my name comes from. So bless your heart. Sean, is Sean there? Am I talking to Sean? Or do I need a break? I have to have a break, apparently. Well, that last break must have been really late then, because we've only been back on for about 9 minutes. You know what this is like? This is like Turkish telly. This is just like Turkish telly. When we come back after the break, when I'm talking to Sean, just remind me to talk about Turkish telly. But you're right, we do have to have a break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, can we talk to Sean now? This is Bob Mills here on Talk Radio. He's filling in this wonderful seat for Ian Lee with all his listeners. You can call us on 03444991000. Calls cost your standard rate or are free if they're included in your, if you have an inclusive minutes package. An ICM, as we call it in the, no, an IMP. Text Talk and your message to 87222. That's 5 Bob. Or tweet at Talk Radio, or you can tweet my tweet. Oh, except the kids have bought me this Apple, and every time I don't use it for a minute, it turns off. So it's, I don't know if it's even worth.
You do know we can fix that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Come and fix it.
All right.
And then you can tweet me at Bob Mills TT. Is Sean there now? Right, let's talk to Sean. Hello, Sean. Sean? Hello, Sean?
Hi, Bob. How are we doing?
Is that, keep talking, Sean, then I know if I brought the right fader up. Where are you?
I'm right. In Leeds, actually. I'm in Leeds.
Oh, that is my third favourite city in England. London is my favourite just because it embraced me when I moved down here. Chester, I suppose, would have to be my second favourite because it's where I was born. But in fact, I've moved Chester to third and put Leeds second because I love Leeds. My son was up there at university and we used to go up and visit him, and it's the most... What's the walk he used to take us on, the ridge?
I spent 20 years... I was born and bred in Leeds, but I spent 20 years in Australia, but I've just been repatriated because I stole the loaf of bread and I served my time and they sent me back.
You see, the Australians don't understand, but that is always funny. It's always funny to say to an Australian, how lovely to meet you. Your grandfather, what was it, bread or horse theft? And they get a little bit shirty about it.
I've just got to say, Bob, I'm a big fan of the show on Sunday night. And
oh, bless you.
It's top, top radio, mate, top wireless.
But we're not allowed to talk about that because Ian gets annoyed. I'll do it later. Sorry. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to start me Apple Mac with me fingerprint while we're doing it. Can I ask you a question, Sean, before we go any further? Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 49.
Yeah. I'm 60 this year, and they brought me this thing, and it's lovely, and thank you so much. They bought me an Apple iPad, all right? And it comes with its own keyboard, because they know I've got fat fingers, and I'm not very good with the little keyboard. And you put it all together, and it's beautiful. And to start it, what could be simpler, Dad? You just touch the screen with your fingertip. Well, I either touch it too hard, and I knock it off the table, or I don't touch it hard enough. Oh, it just...
Well, I'm from the vintage, Bob, where my boys say to me, so, oh, did you have a computer lab at your school, Dad? I said, yeah, I did. And we had two computers, each the size of a Volkswagen car.
And all you could do on them was, like, really simple maths things and
that
stuff like that.
That was the computer lab, and it was like... I just wanted to say that the guy was talking about keeping up appearances before as well, Bob, that
Stephen,
in my opinion, Patricia Routledge was in the same class as Oliver Hardy for looking at the camera. You know, that glance at the camera that you can't write, and it was, she just took a glance at the camera and she sort of head wobbled a bit, and you know, in my opinion, she was a comedy genius.
Well, now, let me tell you this, because what you're talking about there is something that's very close to my heart.
Oliver Hardy, glance at the camera.
Yeah, I did an interview during the for my Sunday night show earlier this year with Kelsey Grammer, Frasier.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know why we like you? One of the things we really love about you is the Oliver Hardy, because it's never, ever looks like it's deliberate.
Never goes out of fashion either.
No, and it's just a little look, and all it says is, it just says...
Absolutely. Brilliant.
What am I supposed to do? And when it's done properly, when it's done badly, it's ridiculous. And I've seen people on television do it badly. I've seen young actors do it badly. But Oliver Hardy, Patricia Routledge, Hancock, and Kelsey Grammer... What it does when they do is it's completely personal, it's completely... And he's saying, Sean, why aren't you here with me helping me out? Because these people are doing my nut.
And as you say, Bob, there's a very, very, very select club who can do it.
And Michael texted in and said, just by the way, when you said you're repatriated, well done for winning your appeal.
I've been rowing for 15 years.
So you were born in Leeds.
Born in Leeds.
Born and bred, or as you would say up there, born and white bred.
Born and bred. Born and bred.
Born in Bradley. And why did you go to Australia?
I was playing cricket for a team, and our overseas guy was an Australian, and him and his girlfriend knew my ex-wife, who came up to Leeds, who was an Australian, and yeah, rest is history. She press ganged me, and before I knew it, I woke up 3 days out at sea.
And what did you work out there?
Yeah, I was a public servant for about 15 years.
All right. So was it that thing where you had to, you have to apply? Because I'll tell you what we watch in the morning, Wanted Down Under, which I thought, for the first few episodes, I'd come down and Jan would be watching it, and I'd think, oh, yeah, I'll watch this, because I thought it's people from East London who are on the run. But, of course, it's not. It's people who want to move. But it's quite a complicated procedure.
I was legal, but to be fair, the Australians are very symmetrical. They've got a chip on both shoulders.
my uncle Lai went out there. They were ten bob tourists, well, whatever they were called.
£10 poms.
That's right. So that would have been the late 50s, early 60s. I suppose early 60s. They moved out there.
That's right.
And. Isn't it funny? That would be the early 60s, and I saw their son, who would be my cousin, in the late 80s, okay?
Yeah.
And he was a knocker. He was an Australian. Bob, lovely to meet you, but I can't believe we're even related, blah, blah, blah. And we sort of chatted, and I think we met in London and had a meal. And I said, so... I understand your mum passed away, my auntie Jean passed away, and he said, yeah, I said, and how's your dad? And he said, the old man, I'll be honest, he's never settled. 30 years ago, 39 years had passed by, and still never a day passed, apparently, where he made it clear to everyone around him, well, I've not settled. I don't know about all this here.
It's actually quite funny. There's a organisation coming up over there, Reclaim Australia. Reclaim Australia, you know, the right-wing politics and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I used to say, well, hang on. The Reclaim Australia movement's been going about 230 years.
So you're back home now?
Yeah, back in Leeds, mate, back in Leeds. A few health issues and all that, but I'm back in Leeds and all good. Starting a job next Tuesday. Sorry. And,
oh, that's nice. What, local?
Yeah, what you say, mate?
Local. You working local?
Yeah, local. So it's but it's a bit daunting being back in your mum and dad's front bedroom at 49-year-old, mate. You know what I mean?
Not really. Life moves along. No, you don't know where you're going to go, where you're going to end up.
No, this is it. Sometimes you've got to roll the dice, but just make sure they're not loaded. That's all. Just make sure the dice aren't loaded. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to just give it a go, and you've got two choices, mate. You can stand up or lie down, can't you?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Exactly. And you got another job coming up. When did you get the Christmas market this year in Leeds?
Yeah, it wasn't as good as what I remember from previous.
Oh, really?
What they used to do, they used to have the big Hofbrauhaus umpire band, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do they not have that?
What they did this year, they had a couple of ski lodges and all this.
Okay.
But I think everybody was going there and getting full up and getting obstropolous, you know what I mean?
So what was this cricket team you were playing? Because you dropped that in, like, I was playing for a cricket team, but then mentioned that they had an overseas player, so they weren't just, you weren't just playing for, like, a local Parks team, were you?
No, I was playing for the local team, but as a young fella, I played for Yorkshire under-19s against Sri Lanka, and so that was pretty decent.
You were much better than pretty decent if you played for the Yorkshire under-19s.
6'4", left-arm fast bowler, so, you know... I got to 16, 17 year old, discovered booze and women, and there's another career gone down the swan.
Mind you, back in them days, that wasn't particularly a preclusion from playing first-class cricket, was it?
No, absolutely.
Booze and women, it never did a lot of them any harm.
If you had the ability, that was a good thing. But actually, if you've got time, I've got a quick story for you, Bob.
Yeah, go on, mate. All I've got is time.
Played against Sri Lanka at York Cricket Club, and I was the first person in my family to have to get a car. And it was an old battered old Chrysler Avenger or whatever. It was, you know, one of those old battered things. And I took a day off work. It was me, my dad, my sister, and we were at the Beverly Hillbillies riding along to the match in this battered old car. And, you know, back in the day, the old school tie business was going on, and we got to the entrance of the ground, and there's all these top of the range Mercedes and BMWs and all this business in the car park, and we come down the road looking like the Beverly Hillbillies, and we come up to the guy on the gate and said, and he said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm playing." He says, "No, you're not." It was the archetypal, you know, and I had to get somebody from the dressing room to come and get us in the car park, basically. So it was interesting times. But
my old man had a comma van. He had a comma van, and there used to be the old prison transport vans back in the day, and he had one. And he decided he was in a pub in Middlewich in Cheshire, and he bought a tent. God knows how this all wound up, but he wound up buying a tent. He bought a tent, and he announced we were going on holiday camping. And so there's him, me, mum, and five of us, and he said, "We're going camping." And we said, "What do you mean, camping? What's camping?" "Oh, he said, we're going camping," he said. So he slung this tent in the comma van, and he sat in the driver's seat, and me mam and me sister have sat in the front seat. But then there's four of us, of course, because there was me, me two brothers, and me big sister. And we're all sitting there, and he started off down the road, and we're just falling around in the back of this van. And me mum said, "You can't have this. We can't drive all the way to Wales with the kids falling about in the back of the van." So we said, "Hang on, I'll sort something out." So anyway, we about an hour later, we set off, and he'd sorted something out, and we were all sitting quite comfortably chatting away. And I remember we were in Wales, and we were driving down through towards Bala in Wales, and we got stopped by these two coppers in an old Ford Anglia Panda car. And we got stopped, and I'll never forget, they came, and they had a look at his van. They kicked all his wheels, and they had a look at that, and then they opened the back, and they started laughing. And I remember one of these fellas had a radio. They had a big radio, and I remember him saying, "Hey, you've got to get over here now, lads. You've got to come and see this. We got a fella here. He's got four kids. I swear to God, they're on a city in the back of his van."
Dixon of Duck Green.
Yeah, it just put the city there. We was all sitting on the city. So last night we were sitting on the city watching telly. Today we're on the city driving through Wales in the back of a comma van.
Well, actually, I used to get a load of stick in Australia because, we're going camping. You want to come camping with us? I said, "Why would I want to go camping in the middle of the... Why would I want to go camping outside when there's lots of things that can kill me?" I'm not doing it. So, but there you go.
Listen, good luck with your new job, Shawnee.
All the best, Bob, and as I say, big fan, mate, and I always listen on Sunday night.
God bless you. Speak soon. Thanks, mate.
Okay, mate. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to have a quick break, and then when we come back, Michael, I think we're going to talk to. I don't know. We'll talk to someone after the break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Boom, boom, back. Oh, you can't beat a bit of slap bass. Is that big in New Zealand, that kind of music? Slap bass, funky slap bass.
I like it, but I don't know if it would spread around the whole country.
From the North Island to the South Island. This is Talk Radio. This is me, Bob Mills, sitting in for your favourite, Mr. Ian Lee, who's off this week. You can call me on 03444991000. That's your standard rate. Or it's free if you've got a IMP, an inclusive minutes package. Or you can text the word talk and then your message to 87222. That's five bob, cheap at twice the price. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio or my Twitter, which is at Bob Mills TT. Up to you, either of them. Michael, talking of £10 poms, do you remember the BBC comedy series in which Tim Healy played a bloke who returned to Britain years after he and his family had emigrated to Australia? Well, I remember Boys from the Bush, which was a Tim Healy sitcom set in Australia. Was he a detective in Australia? I think he ran a detective agency in Australia. I don't know if he then returned from Australia. I don't know. But I remember Boys from the Bush, if that's what we're talking about. And also, John, Bob, last Sunday you were trying to remember the name. I very often forget people's names. You may have noticed earlier in the show, I forgot Patricia Routledge's name when I was talking to Stephen. But I did forget the name of the Derek Giler character in the Fenn Street Gang and Police, and it was, of course, Potter. Oh, yes, you see, Headmaster. Oh, yes, Friday got a rock, you see, Headmaster. Oh, hi, oh, yes. And Sean Caden. Thank you, Sean. Shawnee, thank you very much, Shawnee Sean. I'm not even going to read the text, because the tweet, because you're complimenting me for another radio show. Thank you very much. I did a pre-record last Sunday. There's another one this Sunday as well. You'll enjoy that as well. It's the best of. So, Turkish television. When you've been married as long as I've been married, which is longer than most of you have been alive, you, of course, you buy nice little presents, but you get presents that people want. And what John has said for a while is, be nice to have Turkish television. My family are Turkish. Because if we want to watch a bit of Turkish telly, we have to go around to Nana's house and watch it there. And I said, well, I don't think we can, because our Ponzi is this. This is our Ponzi my life is. I thought it's going to be difficult for me to have Turkish television. Why? Because I live in an area where you're not allowed to have satellite dishes on your house. What? That's how well I've done in life. I come from a family that had three or four satellite dishes on each side of their house, and yet I live in an area where it's a conservation area and you're not allowed to have satellite dishes.
Is that the new measure of wealth in the UK?
Yes. Yes, it is. I live in an area where you're not allowed to have double glazing unless it's done by an architect and it mirrors exactly the original windows.
So just to clarify, you live in... You're so well off that you can't have a satellite dish and you have to freeze to death during the winter.
Yes, we have to be cold and unentertained. That's how well I've done. So anyway, I said there's always been a problem. But anyway, I looked into it. And of course, I found that now the age of the satellite dish is dead. You don't need a satellite dish because I've got cable, I've got internet. So I bought the thing. It's a wonderful little thing. And of course, I've got a son, so he was able to set it up. But basically what you do is you put a plug into a socket, and that's got a thing that goes, an HDMI or whatever, that goes from there to the back of your router. And then what you can do is put your direct from the router to the satellite box. But my house, it's a long, long way from the side of the house where the router is to the... I mean, it's... I've got a Segway. You know, the things you stand on.
So, you can't get a satellite dish. You freeze to death.
Yeah.
And your house is so big that you had to buy yourself a Segway.
It would cost... We can only go in a quarter of it during the winter because it would cost too much to heat the rest
of it. Of course,
of course. That's it. So that's what we got. So we've got it now. It was a nice little present. What I did was, on Christmas Day, Jan and I took the dog out for a walk, a nice big long walk, while my son busied around and set it all up. So when we came back, we said, oh, what should we watch? Oh, I don't know. Well, there's not much on. Why don't we watch, I don't know, what about? And we watched, I said, what did we watch? We watched, I'm trying to think what we watched. One of the big Australian Turkish soap operas. Anyway, so it's lovely. Turkish telly is amazing because Turkish telly has big programs. It's got their version of like Wheel of Fortune and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is much better, by the way, than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, their particular version. I'm trying to think what it's called. It's the Golden Honeycomb. Altın Petek. It's called Altın Petek, the Golden Honeycomb. And it's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but better. But it's on for something like 4 hours. Their Saturday night show is their show for Saturday night. That's it. It's on for about 4 hours. And they never at any point say, anyway, so you've got to ask that, you've got to answer that question. We'll be back after the break. It doesn't happen like that. At some point during the show, it's gone. Just like I was talking, it's gone.
It just disappears.
It's adverts now. It's adverts. It goes from a man saying, okay, so here's your next question. And it's adverts for all crazy. And those adverts can last up to 8 minutes.
Jeez.
I timed one set of adverts at 8 minutes. Sometimes you think that program's finished, they've had adverts, and now this is another program that started. And then you realise, no, it's not another program. It's just a really long advert. And then more adverts, and then back to the program you were watching. Sometimes where you can get back to the program you were watching and can't remember whereabouts in the action you were, if it's like a sitcom or a drama. Anyway, so I forgot where I was going with that. But no, I just said to remind me to tell you about Turkish television. But it is, yeah. We've got it so that it's very entertaining. Also, it helps with the language because eventually in the next 2 years, I'm going to retire. And when I retire, we'll get a place out there. And I need to get my language is. I've been part of a Turkish family for 35 years, and all I can say is all the different food groups. It's disgusting. I'm ashamed.
Still very useful though.
Yes, I know, but it's shameful, isn't it? It really is. I am deeply ashamed of myself. I put it down to say, no, I've not got that sort of brain. I haven't got the sort of brain that retains information. But then my wife says, okay, July 30th, 1966, World Cup final. Give me the German team. And I got a Schnellinger Hotgers help. So obviously I have got exactly that sort of brain. But having the television helps because nothing will make you learn a foreign language than thinking there's no way I'm going to sit through their version of University Challenge without taking part. So you kind of pick it up and it's good for the kids. See what I've done? I've tried to educationalize a very flippant, purely entertaining present, haven't I?
You've done well.
Do I sound like I'm justifying it, though?
Yeah. Okay. It works.
Right, in about a minute, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to nip off and get a cup of coffee. 57.25. That's an odd thing. On a Sunday, it's 57.40. Why is it 57.25 we go to the news?
Because there's a bit of a talk up to the news, and there's a few more ads.
Do I have to talk up to the news?
Wait, we can change it so you don't have to talk up to the
news. I don't want to talk up to the news.
I'll give you a new time, then.
Give me a new time, because when I go to the news, I don't want to go and then come back. That's what they do, and Paul Ross loves it, doesn't he? He talks. I don't want to talk up to
the news. All right, 57.45.
57.45, there you go. When we come back, we'll be carrying on. I do want to know the most ridiculous thing you're going to leave, because not only is it the pate foie gras with me, also my wife, bless her, just Christmas Eve said, oh, guess what I found? I found the kids' Christmas stockings. They're these big, they're lovely big red things with Santa. And said, I'm going to do them. You know, they're in their 20s now, late 20s, my kids. But I'm going to do them. So she did them, and she put some little presents in, and she put them out there. And the kids woke up, oh, stockings here. And my daughter said, God, when was the last time we had this? Must be about 4 years ago. It must be about 4 years, because there was an old Satsuma in the bottom. I swear to God, it was like something Howard Carter had pulled out of the tomb of Tutankhamun.
But that's always the last thing, and you always get to the Satsuma, it's like, oh,
and if
I've got
it's
all the
left,
chocolate, and
imagine
I've got
that. Oh. Imagine a Satsuma being left in a cellar at the bottom of a dark sock. In fact, it's hollow. It's completely hollow. Let's have some news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There you go. I don't know how long we're allowed. I don't think we're allowed. I don't know. Maybe if I was brave, we'd just play it all the way through.
I don't think there are any rules about
how much
we
can
play.
I think there are. I think if we did them all the way through, someone from upstairs would say, guys, talk radio. Guys, talk radio. Okay? If you want to earn Virgin wages, fine. Because you know they only get paid 20 quid a show at Virgin.
Really? I heard a rumour it was only 15.
No, I'm talking about the big names, Johnny Vaughan kind of big names. They get £20 a show because they talk for 3 minutes.
Well, okay, so if this is talk radio, if you're talking over the song, that counts, right?
Yeah,
that's okay.
There you
that's
go.
Sort of the perfect compromise.
Yeah, what this is a bed. I'm using Quo as a bed. Here we go. Put this as loud as it'll go. Here we go. My tribute to the... And I did say at the top, and I stick by this, I mourn all the great names that have passed. David Bowie, Glenn Frey passed. George Michael, who passed recently, and Prince, and Maurice White. Come on, Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire. But to me, the tear in my eye was for Rick Parfitt, because he's my childhood. The first, probably, was it the first? Would have been the first gig me and my mate ever went to, I think. Yeah, together. In T-shirts, we had T-shirts on, and flares. Well, there would have been flares in those days. About 15, 16 years old, I suppose, I don't know. But too many people have passed away. And Richard Adams, Watership Down, he's just been on the news now. It's happening all the time. Although I think, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to Frey about this. Come in, Frey. I think I've got an idea. Because Frey can talk, but you can still talk on your bit, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've an idea that, in fact, statistically, this year has been no different from any other year. I think the same number of famous people die in any single year as have died this year. Maybe just with all the other stuff that's been going on, it seemed like there have been more people. Frey.
Hmm.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right.
Frey's our producer tonight. He's producing the show for me, which is very nice. First time we've worked together. It's only the second time I've ever done Ian's show, to be honest. By the way, if you want to call us, you can do that on 03444991000. Calls cost your standard rate or are free if you've got IMP, Inclusive Minute Package. Or you can text the word talk and your message to 87222, or you can tweet at Talk Radio, or you can tweet me at Bob Mills TT. Except it never works on my tweet. But try it anyway. So, let's deal with the first thing here, Frey, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Frey.
That's right.
Now, is
Did
that because...
When
I was young, my name's Fred, but when I was young, I couldn't say Fred, and I used to say Frey, and it became... Is Frey a name?
It is a name, yeah. Unless I've been grossly...
Frey. Frey.
Frey, yeah. Although I...
You know any other Freys?
I think I met one when I was a kid. But Frey's quite a common last name. You got Glenn Frey, as you mentioned.
Of course you have. Glenn Frey passed away.
Apparently there's a something Frey in a Game of Thrones.
Doesn't my friend Tim Frey? I've got a friend called Tim Frey. Freya
is quite common.
As a girl's name. Yeah. I know several Freyas. Yeah, my son's got a very good friend called Freya.
Hmm.
But I've never heard it before as a gentleman's name.
I'm a very unique person, very special.
So, tell us all about yourself. Where were you born?
I was born in Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia.
Hmm. Almost born in Malaysia, but then my parents flew home.
Okay. Why, were they working in Malaysia?
My dad was, yeah.
Okay. And they got you home in time to represent the cricket team.
Exactly.
That's what used to happen with Yorkshire. Our friend Sean, who was on earlier, would have completely understood that, because Yorkshire people, I know of several Yorkshire people, two Yorkshire people that I work with, one of whom was working for them, was in the military in, what's the little bit at the bottom of, in the middle, Belize.
Right.
And got his wife flown home.
Yeah, my...
I think the poor one was having contractions on the plane, I think, when you had to get to Leeds Bradford Airport. And stories of people, because if you're not born... I think it's different now. It used to be if you weren't born in Yorkshire, you couldn't play cricket for Yorkshire.
Right.
And there's lots of stories of hair-raising, water-broken journeys from the highlands of Scotland in old Ford Cortinas just to get over the border before the child breached.
Right. There's a lot of very optimistic parents thinking, my son will definitely play for you.
Yes, that is a very Yorkshire thing. Ah, oh, thanks, that's for that. We've crossed the border. It means he can play for the... Yeah, hang on a minute. There are certain stages he may have to go through. It's not an automatic thing.
That would be a very big team if that was the only criterion.
Someone might tell us that, because I'm sure it has changed now. I don't think legally they would be allowed. And also they have overseas players. But let us know. 03444 91000, or text talking your message to 87222, or tweet at Talk Radio. Is that still the rule in Yorkshire? I think Yorkshire was the last county that had it. But is that... Can't still be the rule, can it, in this day and age?
I do. I mean, I know almost nothing about Yorkshire or cricket. But I vaguely remember someone telling me that recently.
So, Frey, you're born in Sydney.
That's right.
Now, I don't know anything about your background, and I don't know if they have accents in Sydney, but you strike me as, you don't sound like an ocker.
No.
You're not like Warney, are you? Well, Warney, bless him, look at that, bowling a double googly, right? You're not one of those type of Australians, are you?
Not quite, no.
Are you posh Aussie?
No, just weird Aussie, I guess.
Okay.
But I can talk like this if you want.
But it's not your natural voice, is it?
No.
So you're quite... It's a nice voice. It's a refined voice.
Well, I think a lot of people from Sydney do sound like me. We just... I don't know, maybe we don't make it here, or you don't notice us.
Maybe, yeah, because we think that they all sound a little bit... But maybe that's because, let's be honest, what we see are cricketers and people on Australian, you know...
Well, it could also be my
Kath
friend
Kim.
My friend has the theory of the annoying vegan. She says that, you know, a lot of people say that all vegans are really annoying about being vegan.
Yeah.
Her theory is, and I agree with this, that actually it's only the annoying ones that you realize are vegan.
Exactly.
You just don't notice.
Exactly.
So all the Australians with the softer voices, you just don't realize, you don't notice.
You're exactly right. My very dear friend Danny Baker summed it up enormously. Danny's a Millwall fan, and they're a rather roughneck South London football team. And Danny became famous, and he did game shows, and he was on the television. And somebody once said to him, you've only been coming down here a few years, though, ain't you? And Danny said, no, I've been coming down here all my life. And he said, I've only noticed you down here since you've been on the telly. Danny said, I just let that hang in the air and walked away. So, yes, maybe you're right. That is, and what was that called? The annoying vegan.
The theory of the annoying vegan.
The theory of the annoying vegan. I'm going to write that down because I love anything that you can. Right. What would I do with that? What comedic device would I use for that?
What's a comedic device?
If you see something like that, this is how I will make a joke out of that.
Oh, I see. Well, there's the old, how do you know if there's a vegan at your
party? No. The phrase that you just used, the theory of the annoying vegan.
Yeah.
What would you say? Oh, the theory of the annoying vegan. I believe that was his follow-up to the unbearable lightness of being. I see. I'm trying to think of a posh film. One of Bertolini's lesser-known masterpieces. That's what people do.
Right, right.
Or that would be, that was Floyd's album just after.
There's Morrissey's first solo album.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it the 8th Harry Potter film that's coming out at some point?
Yes, see what he's doing? He's in it now. He's in it. He's woken up and he's got involved.
I wanted to wait till I had something decent. I was like, how do I formulate this?
You see what I'm saying? I can talk to you for 20 minutes and think, yeah, there's a hint of antipathy in there. Him? Yes, he didn't. He only has to open his mouth. Words don't have to come out and you think, where are you from, North or South Island? Because it is such...
I can even ham it up even more. You know, I can really talk like this and then it's really New Zealand accent.
My favourite, when I was working, I used to, when I worked in the, when I was, in my film career, when I was working in the film industry, I was based at Ealing Studios, the film studios at Ealing, and we had a very nice girl, bless her heart, a New Zealand, she was a runner from New Zealand, and we were desperate for some film stock. It should have arrived. Okay, we ordered it from the depot in North London some time ago. It should be here by now. And she got on the phone and she came back and said, the pickage left Wembley at 6. The pickage left Wembley at 6. And that became... People have got that tattooed on their arms. So, Frey, so yeah. you're a young man, you're growing up in Sydney.
That's right.
Lovely city?
No.
Is it not?
Well, I didn't like it that much.
Okay.
Melbourne is a lot more
How
fun.
Can you not like Sydney?
It's pretty, it's just boring.
Yeah, actually, that's true. I get it now.
All right, where would it be then in terms of either in this country or cities that we might know in Europe, where would it be?
Well, it's my favourite place.
No, where would Sydney be?
Oh.
So we know what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, I think Australians, we kind of fancy that Sydney is the London, or rather Sydneysiders fancy that Sydney's the London,
yeah.
And I guess Melbourne's more the Bristol.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of the slightly more alternative place, because we like to think that we're as important as London.
Right.
But it's probably vaguely true. People are a bit grumpier. Frankfurt, actually, is probably a good... It's more of a business city. People aren't particularly friendly. And there's not much to do.
What's always struck me, of course, about Sydney, particularly Sydney, rather than any other big Australian city, but in Sydney, as indeed with Istanbul, Istanbul has the same problem. It brings us back to my Turkish family. Sydney and Istanbul have the same problem. Is if you're from there, you do have to say at least once a week, yes, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Yes. Oh, well, thank you. That's a very nice thing to say. No, we're not actually the capital. No, no, I know we should be, but we're not. I know it's strange, isn't it? But we're not. No, it doesn't matter why we're not. We're not, all right? Because they decided we weren't going to be, all right? Now, let's just carry on talking about my lovely city again. But it's got a stick in your craw. No one in this country has ever understood that.
Well, I don't care because Sydney is the capital.
But can you understand, if you're living in this country, because they used to do it, they always used to do it at school, okay, and the next question, special point, what's the capital of Australia? And someone says Sydney, and they think, no, and you go, oh, it's a trick question, is it Melbourne? I don't know, is that, where? No, Canada? How can Canada be the, Canberra? No, that's a type of drink, that's a type of soft drink, Canberra. How does that happen? How did you allow that to happen?
Well,
Sydney?
I don't know if this is true, but supposedly, I think sometime just after Federation, Sydney and Melbourne were...
Right, sorry, what's Federation?
It's where you get a bunch of colonies and they federalise into a... Into
right, a, okay.
Federation.
It happened so in, that would be like New South Wales,
New South Wales, yeah. Queensland, Victoria, right. New Zealand, Western Australia.
Whoa. Just... was New Zealand for a brief moment.
Wait, actually was?
I think it might have been.
I was joking.
Just for a few days.
Yeah, I know that story. Actually, I've got an article about it here on Wikipedia. The original federalisation, it gives New South Wales, Queensland, the inner territories, and New Zealand. New Zealand was a member of the Federation.
I think we were part of New South Wales officially
it
for a
says
while.
Here.
That
it was
can't
a,
be true.
It's, listen, it says in Wikipedia, New Zealand was a member of the Federation as part of New South Wales until the representative, Mr. Darby, made his initial speech, at which point the rest of Australia said, we're not having him in our federation. He doesn't know the difference between E and I. And it was then unceremoniously slung out of the federation.
We were going to be the...
Cast adrift, it said, because it used to be joined on.
I think we were going to be something like the sixth official state, but because we kept saying the sixth official state, they said, nah, maybe not.
Couldn't even be the seventh.
I mean, because you're aware of it, every person I've met from New Zealand is aware of it. You could do something about it.
You mean we could join Australia?
No.
Good.
The air and air thing.
Oh, the what thing? The air and air?
Yeah, air and air. You get the sounds air and ear mixed up. You know that. You could do something about it from a primary school. One generation, it'd be sorted.
My partner's a primary school teacher. She teaches singing as well. And she has to teach them all the vowels. And, you know, they sing the vowels perfectly fine. You can understand what they're saying. But then when you get to actually speaking it, they just default back to the New Zealand accent.
Well, they do a version of that in Australia, making us get rid of AQI.
What's AQI?
Australian Question Intonation. Ooh, Kiwis do it as well.
We've got it as well, yeah.
But we actually do something about it.
Well, so do we.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
Do you?
Yeah.
This is very good.
They make us say you always have to go down. Otherwise, people will think you're not very confident. If you go up a little bit, people will think you're never sure.
I have to say, you do always sound like you're asking permission.
Look, no one likes an upward inflection.
No.
The Canadians had it with A, didn't they?
Canadia, eh?
Yeah, we're going to go out there, eh?
That sounded really Australian.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it's something about the colonies.
This is the first time we work together, and hopefully we'll work a lot together in the future. One thing you'll learn is that one thing I cannot do is accents or voices.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Get in there! Find that dog! I'm gonna win, you sucker! I love that music now. I'm liking that. Who is it? Is it just a generic bed?
I think it's just generic production music. Yeah. Who has come up with it should be selling that
generic
to the adult film industry.
I'm gonna go to ITV and pitch a show.
Well, just me in front of a camera saying words and using
Bob, thanks for coming in. What have you got for us? I think it's going to be a bit of a winner. It's not an expensive show, as you know. It's all about money now. I just want to go to Heathrow and find the New Zealanders as they're arriving. They're mostly on the same airline, Air New Zealand or Qantas, if they've got a bit of extra money and want a bit more quality. Just have them say words like generic. Generic's a good one.
What, generic?
Evolutionary.
Evolutionary. What's wrong with that?
No, you were good at that. If you want to, this is Bob Mills. I'm Ian Lee tonight.
You look a bit different.
Ian Lee?
You've shaved your beard.
Has he got a beard? Yeah,
he's got his big beard.
He's affected a big beard now. He's got a hipster beard, hasn't he, Ian? You can call me on 0344-499-1000. Calls cost your standard rate, or they're free if you've got IMP, inclusive minutes package. Or you can text, that's the word talk, and then your message to 87222, that's 5 Bob. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio, or at Bob Mills TT, because I've got my thing back up. I didn't understand this, Jundland Waster, it was Paul, I think. Bob, tell us about the record you made back in the day. I did make a record back in there a long time ago, but you wouldn't know about it. No one ever heard it. You wouldn't have known about it.
Did it not make it to the Antipodes?
Lino says, what a lovely evening. I'm listening to Bob Mills as Ian Lee and reading a book about the making of the Death Wish films. That's pretty much a perfect evening, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds very hard to focus on just one thing, though.
Oh, I think you could read the book and just keep half an ear open.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Def, I bought my dad a tablet for Christmas and silly old git's already broken it. I did see a tweet I wanted to... Yes, Def, you're right. Turkish Saturday night shows, the only thing I've ever seen to compare with them are your quizzes on a Sunday night. Now you're just being facetious because the people who listen to this show don't listen on Sunday, so they don't know about my quizzes. So they don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, how did he know there was a quiz?
Oh, he does. He listens on a Sunday.
Right.
The people who listen to my Sunday show, once or twice I've tried to educate them and have had a quiz, but they're so facetious about them and basically idiotic about them. They don't take them seriously, so I've stopped doing them. Simple as that, I've stopped doing them. And I love a quiz. I think a quiz on the wireless is lovely, but people have to take it seriously. So, Frey, Sydney. So tell us a little bit about the journey from Sydney to Waterloo, which is where we broadcast from, by the way.
Well, it takes about 25 hours. South China Air, last time I did it.
That's a long commute to come into work today.
South China Air?
Well, no, I just sleep downstairs.
Hang on a minute. Too. South China Air.
China Southern, I think.
My God. From where? From Australia to England?
Well, yeah, via Guangzhou.
Wow.
Mm.
And what? How cheap was it?
Surprisingly cheap. £550 round trip.
£550 round trip?
Yeah. Sort of a loss leader for my career, I think.
Wow. What? Tell us about, I want to know about it. What sort of plane was it? I'm guessing it's
It was
not.
Nice. It was. I'm quite tall, so they're just, planes are never comfortable. But I had a fair amount of alcohol, and I had some sleeping tablets. So I kind of drifted in and out of sleep and watched every single Avengers film and Iron Man, all the Marvel films. I'd never really seen them before.
What's the nicest airline you've been on?
Etihad was pretty good.
Oh, is that nice? You've been on that?
But because they gave me the back seat. I was flying, this was when I first moved from Sydney to, in fact, it was Germany originally.
Where did you go in Germany?
In Frankfurt, which is how I know it's so boring.
Okay. Do you speak German?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you got German family?
Well, sort of. My girlfriend's family are Polish-German.
Okay.
My girlfriend, actually, speaking of where places were born, she's always miffed that her parents were living in Washington, D.C., and they flew back to Poland specifically to have her in Poland in 1989, or 1990, actually. She's always annoyed at that because she could have had an American passport. Yeah. To this day, 26-odd years later, she's still is annoyed at them.
Oh, you would be. Oh, you'd be terribly annoyed, wouldn't you? Mm. My daughter, by a reverse thing, has this wonderful reverse snobbery because she was born in... She's a Londoner. I'm not a Londoner. My wife's not a Londoner. Although my wife came over when she was 6 months old. But I didn't come down here till I was 15, 16. But both my kids are Londoners. And my daughter is a Cockney. She said, I'm a Cockney. That's it, I'm a Cockney. And people say to her... Well, hang on a minute. Were you born within the sound of Bow Bells? Because the truth. And she says, mate, come here. I was born in the same room as the Cray twins. If you want to argue with anyone about whether I'm a Cockney or not, go and talk to some of the Cray twins.
What
family.
Were they doing in the room?
My daughter was born in a hospital that was called the Salvation Army Mother's Laying In Hospital in Mare Street. It's now... top-of-the-range million-pound flats in a gated community. And she was one of the last babies born in it, and it was the Salvation Army Mother's Lane in Hospital. And they have only ever had one delivery room, and the Craytons were born there as well. So she was literally born in the same room as Reggie and Ronnie.
Right.
Which, as she says, I can... If I'm not a Cockney, then neither are they. And if they're not, then we're in trouble.
I wouldn't dare say it to them.
No, exactly.
I guess you could say it now.
Nah, because they got people remember. Oh, there's still people out there who remember. Don't disrespect the twins, all right? It don't happen. John, you're being facetious. I had no idea that Ian's callers were quite so devastatingly facetious. Could you ask Frey whether he's related to the Argentinian branch of the Frey Bentos family? Well, you know it's not. A, because it's bound to be spelt different. You've even spelt it different on your tweet, on your text. Frey is F-R-E-Y, is it? And Frey Bentos is F-R-A-Y. And Frey Bentos, as you must know, John, is a place. And I don't think it's in Argentina, in fact, even though it's famous for corned beef, which is all the Argentinians have ever produced in their 500 years of existence, that and Evita. I believe that Frei Bentos is a small town in Chile. I think it's in Chile. I might be wrong. And when you finish with the chin, you can use it as a World War II German paratrooper's helmet. Yes, that's absolutely true. You can do that.
Oh, I need one of those.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't know if you can still get Frei Bentos corned beef. I'll tell you why. Because when we were bad friends with the Argentinians a few years ago, because they got silly and thought that they could take the mick out of us without getting a spanking. I think that one of the casualties of that war, obviously one of the lesser casualties of that war, was our trade with Frei Bentos. I think households cleared their shelves, cleared their cupboards and cleared the shelves. I think they're back in the supermarkets now, and corned beef, but very few people. Corned beef used to be a staple part of the diet of all English people, corned beef hash. But since the Falklands affair, I think very few people have bought it.
See, it's the fallout that people don't realise how big a deal that was.
Yeah.
Well, this here says Frei Bentos is in Uruguay.
Uruguay. Well, there you go. Thank you very much. Mm. It's actually pronounced Uruguay, but Uruguay is fine. But it's not Argentina, which is what people think.
Well, it says it was the centre of the largest political dispute between Uruguay
yeah.
and Argentina.
Okay.
So it could be.
No, I want it to not be in Argentina. What I want is for the Argentinians, who I now love, by the way. I love them. I love their culture. My daughter went out there and got treated so well, and the Argentinian people were wonderfully kind to her. So I love Argentina. But I want them not only to have lost the Falklands thing to a country 7,000 miles away, but have also got themselves kicked into touch over a little town by the Uruguayans, who've never beaten anybody at anything, really, apart from the two World Cups. Let's have a break. Oh, God. And is this racist? Sounds a little bit sad. But can you be racist against South Americans?
Depends where you're from.
Yeah, I don't know if you can.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Back with the porn guitar. It's so, every now and again, I think it's going to go into something like Was Not Was or something like that. Or Johnny Guitar Watson. Oh, Johnny Guitar Watson. I've probably got all of his CDs. I haven't played them for God knows, but I love Johnny Guitar Watson.
What do you play?
Yeah, in it. I love any person who thinks, I own this instrument so much, I'm going to put it in my name. Johnny Guitar Watson. I'm sure Hendrix and Clapton and Robin Trower and Eddie Van Halen all said, Johnny, yeah, do you know that we're... No. But I think we've sold... I don't care how many records you sold. I don't care. I am Johnny Guitar Watson, and that's all there is to it.
Well,
maybe he was just really gullible and someone was commenting on how good he is. And they said, yeah, Johnny, he's so good. I mean, his middle name's Guitar. And he thought, it must be that.
No, well, maybe it is.
I wonder if Jimmy went up to him at some point and said, so you know that guitar in your middle name? Oh, can I put guitar in my name too so I become Jimmy Guitar Hendrix? And it would have just started every guitarist becoming so-and-so guitar so-and-so.
There used to be a wrestler in this country called Mr. TV Jackie Palo. All the wrestlers were on television. Wrestling was a television sport. They were all on television. But he decided to call himself Mr. TV, Jackie Palo.
I think the rapper 50 Cent, before he was known as 50 Cent, I think his name's Curtis Jackson, and for a while, either just before he signed to Interscope or when he wanted to get signed to Interscope, he used to call himself Curtis Interscope Jackson.
Wow.
As a bid to try and get in there.
You might as well give me the job, boys. Because everyone already thinks you have.
Well, see, this links into my marketing strategy with Taylor Swift. So my name's Edward Swift. And, you know, Taylor Swift, not related, just before we start this conversation.
No.
You know, Taylor Swift's young, attractive young woman, who I think would find me to be quite a nice guy if I were single, which I'm not anymore. But, you know, it was going to be that marketing dream in heaven that, you know, she could just, we'd get married, she wouldn't have to change her name. It would be perfect.
Because that's what Taylor she's looking and Ed for Swift. In a man.
Totally. Just, it's all in the name. And someone she can write a breakup song about.
That's a funny thing that people used to do. You don't hear it so much anymore. If so-and-so married so-and-so. If Whoopi Goldberg married Peter Cushing. You don't get that anymore.
No, you don't.
When I was growing up, that was a huge thing, if so-and-so married so-and-so. I remember Whoopi Goldberg and Peter Cushing. There was a few others. I tell you, this is what we're going to do. There you go, because we can do anything we like. Because Ian's not here. If he wanted to protect the integrity of his show, he needs to start turning up, all right? Because what you do, mate, if you give someone your car keys and tell them to drive it for 3 hours, don't start saying, it was all McDonald's stuff all over the back seat.
You adjusted the seat. Why did you do that?
I couldn't get all the radio. There was all this ridiculous stuff. It's your own fault. You gave me the keys. You told me to drive it for 3 hours. I'm going to do what I like. Give me a call, 03444991000 or text talking your message to 87222. It'll be the best £5 you've ever spent. And give me an example of if somebody marries somebody. Okay? My favourite was always Whoopi Cushing. Okay? But anybody else, if somebody married somebody, who would they be? Okay? That's what you've got to do. And listen, you might have talk about really esoteric, wonderful things going on. I'm not interested. You have to have one of those before you can get on and talk about what you want to talk about. All right? How long you been over here, then?
About 2 years.
And what's the purpose?
I feel like I satisfactorily answered your question.
Is this the customs office interview? It's like, how long have you been here? What is the purpose of your visit?
But you don't have to do that from Australia and New Zealand, do
you?
Yeah,
of course we do.
Yeah.
You get grilled. I didn't go...
You were welcome with open arms.
No.
Oh.
I'm not allowed to claim benefits. I really wanted to, so I could say I'm one of those immigrants taking jobs and benefits.
Yeah.
I'm not entitled to
benefits.
So you
can't even appear on Benefit Street, the TV show?
I think I can go there.
Okay. But you can't be a member of...
I can't receive any benefits, which I think is a disgrace.
Do you have that thing where you have to pay an NHS surcharge as well?
I did not know about that.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Apparently, on 50 Cent's earlier albums, he was known by his real name. It's you, Arthur Quid. my brother's very good friend, Jim, who are now grown up, but when they were kids, he used to laugh at his dad, because his dad, who was like one of the top legal officers in the land, but said, I heard that song by 50 Pence. I thought that was... So Def done that. Def also tweeted, because you can tweet me at Bob Mills TT, or just the show in general, at Talk Radio, at Talk Radio. I guess that's a legitimate way of using at twice.
At Talk Radio.
Yeah. Give me a sentence that uses and five times consecutively and still makes sense.
And?
Yeah.
Ed, you got anything?
And. Two guys named Anand.
No. Oh. This guy owns a pub called the Hand and Racket, and he wants a new sign painted for his pub. And the guy paints the sign for the Hand and Racket and hangs and shows it to him, and he says, "Does this look all right?" And he said, "Well, I'll be honest, I thought the spacing was going to be different. I thought there was going to be more of a gap between and and racket." There you go.
Skills.
What tube station in London has got seven consecutive consonants? Def also tweeted, yeah, I'm guessing the South American Laugh-a-thon is a bit of a non-starter now.
Knightsbridge.
What?
Knightsbridge.
Knightsbridge, very well done. Knightsbridge's got seven, six consecutive. Did you just think of it? Did you work that out in your head?
Yeah.
Wow, that's clever. That is really clever. Well done. It's Knightsbridge. Yes, here we go. Sean does point out that Ian Botham's dad made a mad dash to get Sir Ian born in Yorkshire, but failed. Mrs. Botham had the child before, which is why Ian Botham never played for Yorkshire, played for Somerset. Brilliant name, was one of the greatest cricketers we've ever, but couldn't play for Yorkshire because he wasn't born in Yorkshire.
Mm.
And someone please tell me, here we go.
It's just clicked.
Robert Harkin, this is a winner. Because you've taken this to a whole new... Right. Isla St. Clair, do you know Isla St. Clair? She was a singer. She used to be with Larry Grayson on The Generation Game. She's a proper... Right. Isla St. Clair married Barry White, but then got divorced and married Brian Ferry to become Isla White Ferry. Yes! Oh! Every now and again, you sit here rabbiting on and the show's... But every now and again, something happens that makes you glad to be alive. And Robert Harkin, that Isla St. Clair, yeah, married Barry White. It didn't work out, got divorced. Then she remarried Brian Ferry. She goes by the name of Isla White Ferry. That is beautiful, isn't it? Danny Kelly... Hang on, I have to read these. Oh, really? This is Michael. This is probably true because if Danny Kelly said it, it would be true. Danny had a neighbour, a little old lady, who was a really staunch Irish Republican. And during the Falklands, she went out and bought all the frayed Bantos corned beef she could lay her hands on just to help the Argentinian war effort. God bless her.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I am indeed in for Ian Lee and enjoying your company immensely. Thank you so much for staying with me. You can call me on 03444991000. Your calls cost your standard rate, or they're free if you have the IMP, the Inclusive Minutes Package. Or you can text the word talk and your message to 87222, that's 5 Bob. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio or at Bob Mills TT. Let me try this one out on you, Frey. Do you know Jim Dale? Would you have known Jim Dale?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
He was a very good actor, very good, multi-talented man. Did musicals. He was in a couple of Carry On films. Very funny man. Very, very talented actor. He was engaged to the actress Emma Thompson. You know Emma Thompson?
Yeah.
They were about to get married, but Emma pulled out because nobody wants to be Emma Dale. This is gold we're getting here. This is absolutely... I'm writing this stuff down because I've got gigs in the new year. I've got big corporate entertaining gigs.
Is this you crowdsourcing your material
yes.
for the next show?
So Emma Thompson and Jim Dale, thank you for that, Def. And of course, Isla White Ferry. Isla White Ferry may well be unbeatable, but we'll see. We'll see. That's the challenge. Keep them coming. So you've been here 2 years.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And you have you worked anywhere else or just here?
I did work.
Sorry, you cannot have this conversation without sounding like an official in an office.
Yeah.
And have you had any other paid work?
I've worked a fair few jobs, yeah.
Fair few jobs.
Mm. In a cafe, in a clothing factory.
What cafe did you work at?
What was it called? Black Sheep in Fitzrovia, but I don't think it's there anymore. I think they've moved or they're shut down.
They do good coffee. They're still around. They've got a few places around.
Yeah, I used to work there.
Oh, nice.
The standard of coffee naturally has gone up since I left. I think it's mostly New Zealanders there, or at least it was when I was there.
I think so.
Yeah.
You got another one, Bob.
I know, but it doesn't really work. Is there a singer called Black China?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Goes out with one of the...
I don't know if I can do this, Def, to be honest. And also, I don't want to use Bobby Ball because he's a member of my church. He's a fellow. He's quite a strict Christian. I don't think he'd like his name being bandied around this. So I think we're going to leave that under the Black China marrying Bobby Ball thing. We'll leave that. We'll leave that. But anyway, but keep him. Why? When you left, I want to know about when you left Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
Was it to come? Were you just going to go and have a little trip around? Or did you come specifically to do something?
I came for this show, specifically.
To work on... Did you put on your application, I want to work on the Ian Lee show, but only when Ian's not on? Is that what you put?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can understand that. And also, that would be a shoo-in. That's a shibboleth. That we allow people in. If they say, I want to work on the Ian Lee show, but not with Ian, then we think, oh, okay, you understand. Shibboleth's my favourite word, by the way. I drop it into every broadcast I ever do.
It is a good one.
It's a beautiful word.
That's one of those ones I know I've looked it up about 5 times. I can never remember what it means.
Oh, it's a beautiful word. Are you a fan of the Shibboleth, Din?
I've been enjoying it. This is the second time I've worked with you.
And did I do Shibboleth last time?
I think you did Shibboleth last time.
I do in everything.
Drops it in. Drops in a Shibboleth.
Because I consider it to be... Now, and this is the interesting thing. When I describe the Shibboleth, if people don't know what it is, I tell you what I do. I use it on young people, because I think it's a word they should know. Mm. And if they don't, then I use it in the Bible. I say it was from the Bible. It was from the Bible. When they'd finished, when the... Hamamites had beaten the Dedadites, whoever they built. They made them say a certain word that only they could pronounce. Imagine being at war with the New Zealanders. At the end of every battle, no one would be able to sneak away from the battlefield because you just have to say, say the word Dan, Din, boom. Say the word Can, Ken, boom. you just shoot them all. Because that's what it's a word or a phrase that identifies you as not being right, who you think right. you are. And it can be used in very subtle forms. In the Second World War in this country, if you were found, if they weren't sure who you were, if you had all your papers and everything, if you had all your papers and you said, no, my name's Monty Thompson and I live in Warwickshire and I'm down here visiting, you would show them a picture of a squirrel and say, oh, what's that then? Because Germans can't say squirrel.
Really?
They have no squa. They don't have the qua noise.
Okay, yeah.
So most Eastern Europeans can't say it. So it's as simple as that. However, I discovered that it's actually still in use, and it kind of upset me a little bit because I'd always thought of it as being, certainly the Second World War as being the last time, you know, the squirrel thing. But it's still in use. It's still in use in like the Syrian conflict and Aleppo and places like that.
Identifying speech patterns.
Yeah. There are specific things that people... There are and foodstuffs. Apparently, they'll sometimes say, would you like some of this? Here, why don't you offer some to your kids?
Well,
and
pork
you'll say
is
to
a
your
classic
kids,
example.
Well, yeah, but it's just that there are certain parts of Syria. It might be a type of bread. And they'll say, here, why don't you offer some to your kids? And say, oh, kids, we've got some metala. And they say, no, well, we know who you are then because we don't call it that. You know, and it's even to the in this day and age, it's still being used quite unpleasantly.
Yeah.
The example I always cite, it's how I realised that, and this is very relevant that I'm speaking to both of you two, it's how I knew that Tony Blair wasn't to be trusted. There you go. I'm just going to let that hang.
Really?
Years and years ago, I used to work in television. We're going back 15 years and 10 stone ago. I used to work in television. And I used to work for a company called MTV. Do you have MTV? You do have MTV.
I've vaguely heard of it.
Is that that music television station that doesn't really play much music?
Okay. Well, we have I used to work for them. I used to work for, actually, VH1 I worked for, which is the old person's branch of that. And I was at the Q Awards. I was sent to the Q Awards to interview people as they came in. The stars, I interviewed Cher. That was very nice. And Eric Clapton and Ronnie Wood. And also every famous person that came in, I interviewed them. And somebody came up to me. Somebody came up to the producer and the producer came up to me and said, listen, we've got the new leader of the Labour Party is here. He's here, you know. What a great place to be for a young politician, the Q Awards. And he said he's willing to do an interview. I know we've got really big gun people, but can we do it? And I said, yeah, why not? Fine, have a politician. And he came, Tony Blair, and he sat there and he gave me the grin, he gave me the smile. And I said, so Tony, this is it's not sort of the place you expect to see a politician. And he said, well, I'll tell you what it should be, Bob, because Bob, no one had introduced me, but he knew my name, Bob, because...
Everyone knows your name.
If you look at the industries in this country, people going about the coal industry, the steel industry, the power industry, yeah, what about the rock music industry? Because that generates just as much exports for this country. Over the years, it has been the single most successful... It's fantastic he made this little speech. And I said, wonderful, wonderful. Who are you particularly looking forward to? We've got Oasis are playing, and I think Clapton was playing. And he said, yeah, yeah, I love it. And the Finn brothers were standing behind him because they were going to be playing as well. And I said, and the Finn brothers, yeah, I'm going to be talking to them in a minute. Are you fans of them? And he said, oh, yeah, I've always loved Crowded House. Now, I've always loved Crowded House. I think Crowded House are a fantastic band. And then he went away and it was done. And I just went home thinking, you wouldn't call them Crowded House.
Crowded House.
It's Crowded House.
Crowded House.
Yeah.
You would only call them Crowded House if you'd only ever seen it written on a bit of paper really quickly before you came and did the interview. Mm.
But also, Tim Finn was never in Crowded House.
No, it was Neil Finn, wasn't it? Neil. No, he was in excess.
Tim and Neil were in Split Ends.
Split Ends.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
sorry, Split Ends.
Split Ends. But it was just that the way that he said Crowded House, and for years afterwards, and don't forget, this man became the messiah of British politics. Mm. Don't judge him from what he is now. At the time, when he won this huge thing, and oh my God, thank God socialism's alive, the Labour Party. I was the one saying, I don't know, I think there's something iffy about him. I don't think he can be trusted.
Because he doesn't like Crowded House?
No, because he doesn't. He pretends to know who they are. That was my point. Because
he says it the wrong way. He says Crowded House.
Yeah, he said Crowded House. That's like me saying, I can't think of an example, squirrel. That, to me, that was the shibboleth that made me know, no, you're a liar. And if you lie about that, if you listen, mate, say, I don't really know that band. Fine. There's millions of bands I don't know. But don't sneakily look at the bit of the notes you've been given and say, oh, yeah, Crowded House, I'm a huge fan.
At least he got the name, the words in the name right, and didn't say, and it's the Crow Dead House.
When I was a young man, I told a terrible lie. When I went to school on a Monday, they said, what have you done this weekend? And I said, I went to a rock concert. Because I'd seen it advertised on a wall. And they said, who was on? And I said, there were two bands. Oh, my God, this is making me feel dizzy and cold, sweaty as I say it. I said, there were two bands, Fotheringay Mott and The Hoople. Because that's what it said on the poster. Fotheringay Mott. The Hoople. So I presume that The Hoople were one band and Fotheringay Mott were the others. And that's always stuck with me. And that was why I was able to pounce so much on Tony Blair, because I am a man not to be trusted.
I once got really embarrassed when I was about 8 because my father's friend said, who's your favourite actor? And I just said, Kevin Costner. I have no idea why. Kevin Costner is just the actor that popped into my head. And they said, what's your favourite movie of his? And again, just said a random thing, which happened to be City Slickers, which of course he's not in. And there was just a very long pause. And then they asked me again, who's your favourite actor? We just had to start it again from the beginning.
Right. How old were you at this point?
About 8, 7, thereabouts.
And at what point in this conversation did your father get hold of his friends round the front and say, I'm taking the mick out of my son?
No, I think he was enjoying it.
You're tormenting my son. I'll rip your lungs out, you scumbag. That's a terrible thing to do to you. How old were you?
I think about 7 or 8.
7 or 8. He said, oh, really, son? 7 year old. Who's your favourite actor? Kevin Costner.
Really.
Yeah, Kevin Costner. Oh, what's your favourite film? So he's like, oh, really? Kevin Costner, is it? Oh, my God. I hope his marriage failed and he lost all his money in a bank crash. I don't know him. I have no interest in him at all, but I hope his life became a misery.
I could find out for you.
Do find out. And I'll tell you what, listen, you're in London now. We know people. If his life didn't become a misery, we can sort that out. I don't even want to read Death's latest one because Fanny Craddock's it, all right? So I don't even want to read it, okay? So we're going to have a break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Concludes my tribute to the great Rick Parfitt, who passed away just before Christmas. And it was a great sentence. Millions, hundreds of people have died. Millions of people have died in the world this year. And they're all deserving of the same respect. But, and some of the famous ones were. But, is this disrespectful? Put that down now. Bring it down. And because this is a serious question now. Is it disrespectful to have a quiz that sort of is about the famous people that have passed away this year?
Depends what the questions are.
It depends when they died.
This year. Otherwise, they wouldn't be famous people who passed away this year.
No, I mean, like, how long ago this year was
within
it?
Within the last 12 months.
As in, like, are you excluding people from the last 48 hours?
I'm not excluding anyone because this is an inclusive show. You know that.
Okay.
If we're going to offend anyone, we're going to offend everyone.
Everyone or no one.
Let's see how you think. Let's see how it works. I will give you three names of famous people that passed away this year. And you just have to give them back to me. You have to give me an age order.
An age order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do it like that.
All right.
I was going to play higher, lower, age-wise, but that is disrespectful, isn't it?
Sweet.
It is, isn't it, to play it like that?
You've got to give it a full ranking to be a bit more, to give it their gravitas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here's the first three, and you have to give them in age ranking. You both have your guesses. All right.
Okay.
And they are David Bowie, January the 10th, passed away, the great David Bowie. Alan Rickman, the superb actor who passed away in January. And also in January, Glenn Frey from the Eagles. Which is funny, isn't it? Because your name's Frey, and his name's Frey as the second name.
Mm.
So David Bowie, Alan Rickman, or Glenn Frey. Who would you say was the youngest of those? Alan, we'll have Dan first.
Who's Dan?
Who's Dan?
What did I say?
You said Dan.
Who's Dan?
I know, who's Dan? You
Go
said
on,
we'll
Dan.
Have Dan first.
Did I?
Did you think I was called Dan or he was called
no,
Dan?
No, I didn't think anyone was called Dan. Why did I say Dan? I've got Dan written on a bit of paper here. Someone phoned up called Dan?
Well, you were making talk about Dan and Din before.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just because he can't say that. Okay.
I think you were talking about Ed.
No, I was talking about... But why would I say Dan? Because it's not like... All right, now you can go first, then. Frey can go first. Okay, Frey.
Well, I think...
David Bowie, Alan Rickman and Glenn Frey. Who was the youngest?
Well, I'm pretty sure I've got the feeling that it's Glenn Frey, but that's only because...
Right, you're saying Glenn Frey was the youngest. Who was the oldest?
Bowie.
So you're saying Bowie the oldest, Frey the youngest. Ed?
I'm going Bowie oldest, then Frey, then Rickman.
Okay. Glenn Frey was the youngest. He was 67. David Bowie and Alan Rickman were both 69.
Oh.
See, I've actually got that written here.
Have you really?
But then I thought, I chickened out because I thought, no, Alan Rickman can't have been that old.
All right, let me give you... Oh, and that's the last page that's got the ages on. Oh, no, and the ages come back in August. Okay. Right. Bobby V, the 1960s teen idol. Remember Bobby V? Did you have teen idols in Australia? Bobby V was a very sort of round the Frankie Valli type, Bobby Darin.
Okay,
type.
Right.
So Bobby V, Gene Alexander, who played Hilda Ogden in Coronation Street, and Arnold Palmer, the golfer. Who was the youngest out of those? And Frey, you can go first.
Don't we want to let Dan go first?
No. Oh, well, did you go first last time?
I think I did go first last
right.
time.
Arnold Palmer, the golfer, Gene Alexander, who played Coronation Street, Hilda Ogden, or teen idol Bobby V. Who was the youngest of those?
I reckon Bobby V.
You reckon Bobby V was the youngest? Who do you think was the oldest?
Arnold Palmer.
You reckon Arnold was the oldest?
If I had to take a guess.
All right, and Frey, what do you say?
Didn't you say Bobby V was a 1960s teen idol?
He was a teen idol in the 60s, but he was already an idol. He probably reached his peak.
Doesn't necessarily mean he was a teen. He was an idol of 14.
Yes, exactly. In the same way Sinatra was a teen idol.
I think Gene Alexander was the youngest.
Okay.
Arnold Palmer was the middle and Bobby V was the oldest.
Okay.
Is that what you said?
No, I said Bobby V was the youngest.
Right.
Yeah.
Bobby V was 73. Arnold Palmer was 87.
Wow.
And Gene Alexander died at 90 years old.
Wow.
Want another one?
Yeah, why not?
Leonard Cohen, Robert Vaughan, Napoleon Salah from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and the great Leon Russell. So we'll start with Frey. Leonard Cohen, Robert Vaughan, and Leon Russell. Well, sadly, great legends that sadly passed away this year. Who would you say was the youngest of those?
I'm going to say Robert Vaughan, because I don't know who that is.
No, what's the man from Uncle?
The one that came out a couple of years ago.
No, the TV series. David McCullum was Ilya yes. Kuryakin, and Robert Vaughan was Napoleon.
I know of the show, I've never actually seen it.
He was a very famous actor. You're saying he was the youngest, and who would you have as the oldest?
I think Leonard Cohen.
Okay. Cohen, Vaughan, and Russell. Who's the youngest?
Russell was the youngest, followed by Vaughan, then Cohen was the oldest, is my guess.
Leon Russell was 74. Leonard Cohen was 82. Robert Vaughan was 83 years old. Ooh. God rest his soul. Mm. This is nice. This is all right. This is a tribute, isn't it?
Mm. Remembering the years they lived.
Yes. And we'll finish with this. Maybe. Greg Lake, off of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Okay? You all know Greg Lake. A.A. Gill, the noted writer and food critic. And weatherman Ian McCaskill, TV weatherman Ian McCaskill. Greg Lake, A.A. Gill, and Ian McCaskill. Ed, who was the youngest?
I think A.A. Gill was the youngest.
And who was the oldest?
Ian McCaskill.
And what would you say, Frey?
I think trick question, they're all the same age.
Ah, that'd be very good. A.A. Gill was 62. Greg Lake was 69. And Ian McCaskill was 78 years old. Well, there you go. That was all right. And not too... That wasn't disrespectful, was it? We paid tribute to them as we did it. But you're always worried, I suppose, about, you know, doing stuff like that. But Zsolt Gabor died. I saw a thing saying, Zsolt Gabor died. It's a tragedy. Yes, it is a tragedy. It's a tragedy to her family and people who are around her. But she's 99.
Mm.
Only in cricket is 99. Oh, it's a shame. Mm. Really, isn't it?
99's a good innings.
It's a good innings. It's a damn good innings. Okay, here's a quiz for you. Zsolt Gabor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Taylor, okay, and Kylie Minogue. Zsolt Gabor, Elizabeth Taylor, and Kylie Minogue. Which one of those have I not kissed? This silence. A lot of broadcasters would we can't have that silence. I like it because it's the noise of people thinking. Zsolt Gabor, who died recently at the age of 99, Elizabeth Taylor, who died some years ago, and Kylie Minogue, who thankfully is still with us and was looking excellent on a programme I saw her on over Christmas. Which one of those haven't I kissed?
I reckon Zsolt Gabor, but I reckon she kissed you instead.
No, it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work. If they kiss me or I kiss them, that
okay,
is a
well,
kiss.
Okay, well, Zsolt Gabor then.
Well, this is the thing. I want to go with that one as well, which makes me think it's one of the other two. I'm going to go with Kylie Minogue.
And you would be right to go with Kylie Minogue. Kylie Minogue is certainly not someone I've ever... And if I did meet her, I don't think I'd kiss her because it would be too, oh, hello. But Zsolt Gabor, I'd rather a nice big... She come up and snogged me.
Good.
I was doing some warm-up on a show she was on. She said, darling, you were wonderful. You did such a super job. And gave me a big kiss. And Elizabeth Taylor, I've kissed on a number of occasions. We were very, very close for a while, Elizabeth and I. But no, Kylie Minogue, no, never. I've never met Kylie Minogue. Funny enough, I was in a corridor once at the BBC with some other guys my age and sort of sitting around talking. We were about to go in and do a sports programme. And got chatting to... Some girl was lost, couldn't find her way, and they were sort of chatting to her, and then we went in and did the show. And when we came out, we realised it had been Danny Minogue. That was the story. That went nowhere, did it, that story? Absolutely nowhere. I've not kissed Kylie Minogue, but I saw her sister lost in a corridor.
Still a claim.
Do you know what I mean? And Churchill did 6 volumes of his memoirs, and I've not even started yet. And that's going to be a whole chapter.
Is that the opening chapter?
Yeah. I didn't kiss Kylie Minogue, but I did see her sister once, lost in a corridor. And I thought at the time, listen, I'll tell you what we do. We're going to have a little break. When we come back, Jane C, thank you very much for being honest. Listen, I've only just started listening because I've been out. You can't argue with that, can you? There was no need to tell you that. And Def's apologised for spoiling the If Somebody Married Somebody, because he's not allowed to take part anymore, because all his are rude. Fanny Craddock's in one. You know, it's just, you have to spoil things, don't you? That was always my problem, Def, when I was a kid. You have to spoil, and my mum used to say, oh, Robert, you have to spoil things for everyone, don't you? And I did, it's true.
Just it was always taking that little step too
far,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
yeah.
Showing off, she used to say. You always have to show off. But look at me now. 12:15 at night, sitting in for Ian Lee.
Getting paid to show off. Yeah. About that time you ran into you saw Danny Minogue in the corridor.
It's paid off now, old lady. How's this for a conversation? Christmas Eve, I was sitting on a bus, right? Because my car was in the garage and I had to go up to Enfield and pick some. I'm sitting in a bus on Enfield, on top deck at the front, pretending I'm driving, like you do. And miserable, stuck in traffic in the rain on a bus in North London. And I thought, I'll tell you what I will do now. I've got a bit of time, actually. I'll phone my mum. She's 87, bless her. I'll make sure she's all right for Christmas. So I phoned. She's answered. Hello, Robert, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. You all right? Yeah, lovely. I'm just, we're just sitting here by the harbour in Fuengirola in southern Spain having a bit of lunch, so I can't talk. I'm sitting on a bus in North London, my 87-year-old's out by the Mediterranean having sea bream for lunch. Something's wrong with that picture. Let's have a break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Gonna get me some hot stuff. Gonna get me some vibe. Gonna take to the river. Oh, I'm alive. I can think of anything. What rhymes with vibe? Why would you say vibe? Why don't they have soul singers in Ulster, Frank?
Why not?
Because if someone in that voice says, take me to the bridge, you just drive very carefully and take them to the bridge. Now you drop me off at the bridge. All right, sorry, please don't hurt me. Def, listen, mate, this isn't the Brexit vote. This isn't the Supreme Court. You can't appeal. He's retweeting me saying, no, hang on, Bob. The Fanny Craddock thing, it wasn't going to be. No, you cannot play this game. You're banned, all right? It's like Shakespeare walked into a pub. What did the governor say?
Hello, Shakespeare?
No, you're barred. But Frey, who's been sitting here with this wonderful Antipodean look about him, saying, I don't understand this game. Isla Sinclair married Barry White, then got divorced and married Brian Ferry, so she became Isla White Ferry. And in this interval, has come up with two absolute crackers, Ed. Come on, Frey, you do them. Go on, son.
Well, if Theresa May married Sir Philip Green, she'd be Theresa Green.
That's brilliant. That's exactly how the game works. In primary school. But that is exactly how the game works. And do your other one.
If Ruth Davis married John Leslie, she'd be Ruth Leslie.
There you go. That's a perfect one.
That's good.
You see, that's exactly... It doesn't have to be rude. It doesn't have to be Whoopi Cushing.
That's perfect.
What about you, Ed? You got any?
I'm gonna have to come back to you after the next break.
Well, all this... Like, yeah.
I've got 10 minutes to think of one. Till the next break.
10 minutes. Is that like gold hours? Well, it's all gone quiet now. I said you can call me on 03444991000. Calls cost your standard rate, or they're free if you've got the IMP.
And we'll call you back anyway.
Oh, we call you back anyway. Yeah. So it pretty much costs nothing anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Pay for the one call, then we'll call you straight back.
Okay. And you can text. You text the word talk and your message to 87222. That's 5 Bob. Or tweet at Talk Radio Or at Bob Mills TT, which is my thing, my Twitter thing. Hang on, I have to activate it by putting my finger on it. There you go, and it's back. But death, there is no appeal. So, no, you can't take part in it anymore. Unless you come back with a really brilliant one that's absolutely clean, you can do it. But it doesn't have to be that. I did start the thing off by... What was the question? It wasn't a question. It was just... Oh, yeah, the... after the new year, let's say Christmas finishes like the 4th of January, what will you look at and think, what the hell possessed me to buy that? Why did I think... I noticed today in my hallway three boxes of Christmas lights that I'd bought, but that we didn't need. They're still in their boxes. They're in little plastic cases. They're never going to be used. They're never going anywhere. They're going in the cellar with the rest of the Christmas decorations in January, and we'll never see them again. And someone will buy our house in a few years and they'll convert it, and some workman years from now will say, hang on, look, I've just knocked this false wall down, look. Yeah, no, behind the body, there's a load of old Christmas lights. So what do you think you might have bought before Christmas that you now think is a complete and utter waste of time? Give us a call, 0344 499 1000. Ed?
Hi.
How long have you been over here?
Been over here a year and 3 months now.
Okay. And yeah. What made you make the journey?
Well, I've been wanting to come to the UK for a while. So my mother is British.
Oh, where's your mum from?
Born in Swansea, grew up in Bristol.
So she's Welsh?
I think technically, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been wanting to do it for a while. All my mates have done their 2 years over here and then gone back home. And I decided, yep, all right, finally going to do it. Put it off for a few years, kept putting it off because I kept getting various new projects or jobs at work. And then finally decided, end of the year before last, that I was going to do it. Took the plunge, booked the flights, flew Malaysian Air, made it, thank goodness. And here I am.
Wait, that'd be around the time the first Malaysia Airlines.
It was about a year after the first one. So that's why the flights were really cheap.
If you live in New Zealand, do you have to get a smaller plane over to Australia?
No, there are direct flights from New Zealand to Guangzhou, like Frey flew, or you can go via Dubai or Bangkok, like I did most recently. But we went via, Kuala Lumpur and then did a little trip around Asia while we were there.
My daughter's going, beginning of January, for work. She's going over to make a thing with... John Suchet. She's gone over there to make a... For the Australian Tourist Board. And she's going to... Did I say Adelaide? She's going... Is that a town?
Yeah.
She's going to Adelaide. And she's flying... I don't know if it's Emirates. They're stopping in Doha. Would that be where they...
That would be Qatar.
I think she's flying with them then. And they stop in Doha. But only for 2 hours.
Right.
It's not... Whenever I've flown... I've never been to Australia. There was a couple of times I was about to go for different things for work. But whenever I've been to Hong Kong, I do work in Hong Kong on a number of occasions I've been out there. Well, you can thank me all you like. That's Jane. Thank you for the virtual walk of shame. No, darling, you're welcome. It's lovely to have you here all the time. It's Steph that got the walk of shame. Because he's been banned from the competition. I've never been, because whenever I've been to Hong Kong, sometimes I've got off the plane with people who were getting off the plane to have a stretch and a cup of coffee and maybe a few, and then they were carrying on to Australia. And I've thought, well, I wouldn't get back on.
Would you just stay in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I'd stay in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's awesome, though.
And if you stay wherever it stopped, there is no way I could sit for 9 hours or however long on an aeroplane and then get off and then get back on. Mm. No, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'd have to have a week, at least a week, before I could do it.
Well, it's the same reason I've only been back to Australia once in 7 years.
It's too much, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Could be well. I know it's nonsense.
And especially if you're cramped in economy and, you know, you're stuck in one of those middle seats or you're... You know, people always having to climb over you. So it's like...
I know it's ridiculous when you think it used to take 6 weeks on the boats and stuff like that. You know.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know. How long did it take?
More than that, surely.
Was it? I don't know.
People are still arriving.
How long did it take to go on the boats? No, 6 weeks.
Well, from the UK to Australia?
Yeah, Southampton. What, oh, look at him Googling. Well, I bet they could do... Yeah, you could do it in 6 weeks. Of course you could. Do you think?
I feel like that doesn't sound long enough.
Somebody tell us... don't Google it. That's cheating. If anyone's out there ever been
on
a boat...
on Google.
ever been on a boat from... either from Britain to Australia.
Well, I'm sure you can do it in that time now. I thought we were talking about back in the day, all the convicts.
Oh, and I'm talking about a sailing boat. I'm talking I'm talking about people used to, like the cricket teams when they used to go over after the war. They didn't fly. They went by boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would get on a boat? 6 weeks on a boat?
Yeah.
It's madness.
That's why you make the most of the cricket tour.
Yeah, of course you do. It's part
it's half
of
as
it.
Long as a standard cricket game.
But so you think, oh god, 24 hours you can be there. Yes, of course, it's miraculous, but everything's relative. And you think, no, I don't want it to be 24 hours. If it was 5, I'd do it.
Yeah.
And what about these planes that are just going to go straight up and wait for the earth to catch up with them and then come straight down again? Have you heard about these? Oh, Virgin have got this all sorted out.
As I say, it's sort of Virgin going Galactic? To the edge of space.
Yes,
thing.
I had a really difficult conversation just before Christmas with Sir Richard Branson, the pickle magnate, because I was supposed to go to Necker over Christmas, and for various reasons I couldn't go. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. It's the truth. So I had fun. But he's got this thing in development. Which apparently makes sense. To me, it sounds like nonsense, but apparently scientifically it makes sense. Rather than taking off and getting up to 30, 40,000 feet and flying to Australia or somewhere like that, if you just go up for like an hour or however long it takes and just come down again...
No.
Yeah? Yes?
It would take at least 12 hours.
No, they're saying you can do it in, like, 3 hours.
That doesn't make sense. You're waiting for the Earth to rotate.
Yeah, it takes half a day to get there.
I think you go up in a sort of a line. You don't go straight up.
A parabola.
A what?
A parabola.
No, a plane. Someone to help me out here, because I've got Antipodeans picking on me. Someone will know what I'm talking about. If you go up, like, at an angle and get to the edge of space... And then carry on for about an hour, and then down again at the same angle, then you'll be where you start within like 3 or 4 hours.
But that's a longer distance than if you went up a little bit and then.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but it'd be faster.
Yeah, it'd be much faster.
Imagine
coming down from the edge of space. Imagine the kind of speed you're doing there.
Yeah, but you'd need to have the equivalent energy going up.
Yeah, a rocket. It's called a rocket. They'll have a rocket going up.
So basically it's going to be space flights to Australia.
But without going to space, you just go to the edge of the stratosphere. You know Van Diemen's Land?
Yeah.
What's the belt around the Earth?
That's Van Kuiper Belt.
Van Kuiper Belt. You go up the Van Kuiper Belt and turn left and go to Van Diemen's Land. I'm telling you, somebody out there will back me up.
Isn't Virgin Galactic is offering this as like entertainment? You can go experience weightlessness. Is that not what you're thinking of? Are you sure it was about to get to Australia?
It's the same thing. It will still be faster to get.
It's about the fact that when I spoke to Sir Richard Branson just before Christmas, he said, oh, well, I thought you were going to come to Neck. And I said, well, I can't. I'm sorry. Something's come up. And he said, oh, well, that's fine. Because I can't. He was moaning because he'd cancelled something. Because I was going to go and spend Christmas on Necker with them, about his new thing where he's going up and around a bit and then coming down, and you can be in Australia in 4 hours. Somebody back me up. 0344-499-1000 or text talk in your message to 87222, because they're looking at me like I'm some kind of colonial.
It sounds like
power.
He's talking a whole lot of pickle right there.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Now, I like that. I like the little bit of a bed that it's got for us. Deaf's Can you believe this? How many times did I have to say, Def, you're banned from the competition? Yet he's still doing it, he's still tweeting it. But again, it's one that he said, he's done it and then said, go on, think about it. And I think, oh, no, because it's going to be rude. Somehow it's going to be rude. But I can't see how it's rude.
That's it?
Well, no, because it, I might say it and then it's, oh, God, no, that's really rude. Do you mean the character, Def, or the actor who portrayed him? The late, great actor who portrayed him? Because that doesn't seem to make any sense. So you've got to be more specific. You've got to help me out. Although you are still banned, really. You're barred. But I'll let you try and slip this little one in. So you know what this is about. This is... The greatest is if Whoopi Goldberg married Peter Cushing. It's just funny to say Whoopi Cushing. But any of those you can have. You can call me on 0344-499-1000. That doesn't cost anything, really, because we phone you back. And if you've got the inclusive minutes package, it's less than free. Or text the word talk in your message to 87222 or tweet at Talk Radio or at Bob Mills TT, which is my one. That's stupid. You're just being silly now, Dad. All right, what about if Faye Dunaway married Dr. Spock? She'd be Facebook. No, she'd be Faye Spock. Yeah, Facebook. No. No, Def. Not Facebook. Faye Spock. Hello. My name's Dr. Spock. This is my wife, Faye. Oh, Faye Spock. Yes.
It's a decent effort.
But no one is ever going to go, really, Faye Spock? Seriously, Def. You can't... Like, now I'm embarrassed that I barred you. I barred you for being too edgy in the whole competition. You know, taking it, oh, he's taking it a bit far. And now you've come back with this. Right, no one's prepared to help me out with the idea that if Richard Branson... But answer me this. He's not... I presume he's not gay. I don't know, he might be. And I don't know about Eric Pickles. If he is, then I wish him all the happiness in the world. I don't know if he is. But what about if they were to have a civil partnership? Where would we say, are we going to spend Christmas with the...
Branson Pickles.
Branson Pickles. You see, that would be lovely, and that would work a treat. That's how
that
you
works.
Do it, Def. Facebook. That doesn't make any sense at all. Spock doesn't sound like book. Hello, Bob.
I've got one, by the way.
Hang on, can I read John's... Is SMS a text?
Yeah, that's text.
Let me read this. After the Dudley Sutton debacle, may I be forgiven if I doubt you? You've often said in the past that so-and-so has passed away when they're very much alive and kicking. This is absolutely true. I've done this on at least 10 occasions on my radio. Said, what a great loss that was. And then they phoned up. What they should do is Talk Radio should make you go along and measure the people up and check their pulse. Because in a hot climate, they might keep moving before the fly. Why, who have I said now has gone? No, all the people I've read, they were from James Wells's list, so they're all passed away. What was the outcome with Dudley Sutton? Is he so, oh, I saw him in something the other night. He was brilliant in something. Oh, God, what was he in? I'll tell you what I did see the other night, a brilliant Steptoe and Son, where they went to the old man's brother's funeral. What a cast that was. George C. Scott. George Scott was one brother. Stella Murray was in it. Molly Sugden was a sister. Queenie Watts was in it. Off a, yes, my dear. Don't tell him no, just tell him, yes, my dear. And we'll be cosy as two bugs in the rug. Oi, give us a nug. She was in it, Queenie Watts. That wasn't Queenie Watts, that impression, by the way, Fred. That was Arthur Mullard, who played Queenie Watts' husband.
Right.
And yes, my dear. And my wife used to see him a lot. He used to sell flowers. He used to have a flower store outside Ivory and Islington. Those were the days when you could be the star of a major British sitcom and have a flower store outside Ivory and Islington Station. Yeah. No one took that as anything amiss at all. He's on the telly over Wednesday night. And he sells flowers in the morning. That's fair enough. You could do that. I remember you see people walking down the street, famous people, quite a lot.
Yeah.
And on the buses and on the trains, tubes and things. I suppose there wasn't the money then. It's what Kenneth Williams always says. Kenneth Williams' great tragedy in his life was the work he did made him extraordinarily famous and extraordinarily identifiable, but never earned him the money to escape it.
Yeah.
So the Carry On films, you know, they were getting 300 quid. 300 quid a week they were getting for doing the Carry On. Yeah, the Carry On films. Oh, they got ripped off. Oh, terribly, terribly so. They never started making any money until they started putting them on television years later. And then they got a little bit. But they got... So he would be this huge famous man, but he had to live, you know, in his flat where he lived, and he had to go to the post office and Safeway, you know, Morrison's or whatever it was in those days, Woolworths and stuff like that. So that was his great thing, is that if you're this famous, you should by rights be rich enough. Wilfred Bramble, of course, talking about Steptoe, Wilfred Bramble, who was Old Man Steptoe. Did you have Steptoe and Son in Australia?
We had both Steptoe and Son and Sanford and Son.
Oh, so you had, the American version as well.
Yeah.
Well, Wilfred Bramble, of course, his great lament was that he was a homosexual, and these were the days when it was illegal. It was very difficult to be a homosexual in this country in the late 50s, early 60s, when Wilfred was active. And his thing was that when he became famous, he finally had enough money, and they used to go to Morocco. That's where the Tunisia and Morocco, Kenneth Williams, Joe Orton, all that lot. And Wilfred Bramble used to go there. But unfortunately, by the mid-60s, it had opened up as a tourist place. And so suddenly he would be sitting in what he considered to be his exclusive place with his exclusive friends. And there'd be coachloads of British. Oh, look, there's Old Man Steptoe. And he'd be sitting there with a young Arab friend, you know what I mean? And he's enjoying the privacy of his life. And it'd be loads of people taking pictures of him. Oh, look, Old Man said, go on, do Old Man Steptoe for us. Because Wilfred Bramble was a very, very well... He was very sort of rather a posh actor.
Right.
And what led me to that? What got me onto this? I can't even begin to imagine what got me onto this.
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
That's not a conversation I could trace back at all. Anyway, that's Wilfred Bramble.
Is there a famous... Can you think of a famous person called Tess, whose first name is Tess?
Just use Tess of the D'Urbervilles. If Tess of the D'Urbervilles...
Okay,
Tess Daly. If Tess Daly married...
Sebastian Coe.
She'd be Tesco!
Hey!
And what is wonderful about that?
Does Sebastian Coe actually own Tesco's? I have no idea.
No, he doesn't. But Tesco's is named after the wife of Mr. Cohen, who started Tesco's. His wife was called Tess.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that is why Tesco's is called Tesco's.
There you go.
Why, what's the, you know, Woolworths? Do you have Woolworths in Australia?
We did, but it's actually a different thing. In Australia, Woolworths is like your... I guess Sainsbury's,
yeah.
Oh, is
it's
it?
A supermarket, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the... It's a department store here, right?
Well, they don't have them anymore. They went bankrupt.
Right.
But it was FW Woolworths. It became just Woolworths, but when I was a kid, it was always called FW Woolworths. And so the question was, what did the W stand for? It doesn't matter, because you wouldn't know.
Well, go on, tell us anyway.
Winfield. Frank Winfield Woolworth. He was the man who started off. Because if you got stuff from Woolworths, brand stuff, that was their brand.
Right.
Winfield. And what was the name? What did, I want to say, Claude and Auguste. Claude and Auguste were two Belgian gentlemen.
Claude and August.
Yeah. Belgian gentlemen. What did they found? Again, I don't know.
Claugust Industries.
CNA. Did you have CNA? You didn't have CNA in Australia, did you?
Do you know what CNA is?
No, we didn't.
The department store called CNA. You see, I'm sitting here doing all this. The least they could do is give me someone with a vague knowledge of English culture.
But that's the good thing. We're learning now. So, you know, if someone comes up to us on the street and asks us about, oh, what does the W stand for? We now know.
This is a learning and a friendship.
Can I just say something? The chances of someone coming up...
I might come up on a pub quiz.
So what did you have in... Right, let's stick with New Zealand. What are you from, North or South Island?
North Island.
North Island.
From Auckland.
Auckland.
Yeah.
What kind of... What shops did you have in Auckland?
So we had Countdown, which is the New Zealand version of Woolworths.
Hang on, you had a department store called Countdown?
No, a supermarket called Countdown.
Supermarket called Countdown.
Yeah.
And is the supermarket, as you would recognise today, Safeways or...
Do they have Safeways
or is it Sainsbury's now?
Safeway's still a thing, isn't it?
I've never heard of Safeway.
No, Sainsbury's. Safeway's got taken over by Morrison's. So it's Morrison's. Right.
Yeah, so it's like a Sainsbury's or a Tesco. Or,
okay. Yeah. A Tesco. Right, so you had supermarket and that was Countdown.
Countdown, or there are a few, like New World.
New World?
Another supermarket.
They were an Australian group that got to number one in this country.
New World?
Yeah.
What was their song?
They did a very good version of I Beg Your Pardon. I Didn't Promise You a Rose Garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along, enjoy the good times while you can. Before we have a break, while we're having the break, Ed is going to go on Google and look up the other hit that New World had and also the scandal that led to their demise.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Tom Tom lived for all he could give, and he stood by his father's side. Then into his world came a sweet young girl, and he took her for his bride. He took her for his bride. Tom, Tom, turn around, don't ever let me down, don't ever leave my life. Tom, Tom, turn around, don't ever let me down, take me for your wife. Please take me for your wife. Tom, Tom's called away.
There you go, Tom, Tom, turn around. Very well done, Ed. That was the big hit, really. I think it was after Rose Garden for New World. Now, I can see Frey's going to be welling up here because New World, of course, were... They were founded in Brisbane in 1965. John Fuzzy Lee, who was actually from Ashstead in Surrey, but had obviously moved to Australia. Mel Noonan from Sydney. Mel Noonan from Sydney.
Hit me where I live.
And Robert Elford from Townsville. Where's Townsville?
Townsville, Australia? It's up north.
Is it? Yep. And they formed this act, and they came over to, and Chinny Chap got hold of them, Nick Chin and Mike Chapman, who wrote all the big hits of the British pop scene in the 1970s.
Right.
Chin and Chapman. And they had that, and they had, so they had Tom Tom Turn Around, Rose Garden. They had another one. I can't remember what it was. But then they did, this is very strange, because their next release was Living Next Door to Alice.
Alice.
Right, and that flopped miserably, okay. Maybe it flopped in Australia because people thought, well, you're in Sydney, that's nowhere near next door to Alice.
Yeah.
My God, Alice is right in the middle of the damn country. This geographically don't make any bloody sense at all, living next... But it then became a huge hit for a band called Smokey.
Right.
And it is a song that has the weirdest, oddest... It's going to find it. It's going to find it, and as soon as he does, he's going to give me the thumbs up, and we're going to play Smokey's version, because New Worlds was a completely flop. It's probably not even on YouTube, of Living Next Door to Alice. And you only have to listen to it for about 2 minutes, which is, or less than that, and you realise this is makes absolutely no sense, this song at all. Have you found it, Ed? He'll give me the thumbs up.
Nearly.
When he does. But going back to New World... They had a few hits. They came over, and they were on a British talent show called Opportunity Knocks. And they then got embroiled in something. There's a book by a guy called John Lee, which is called New World Guilty: Vice and Payola Scandals That Ousted Watergate. It was the biggest scandal in this country, and it was because. Their record company was paying DJs to play their songs, It was called the Great Payola Scandal.
Yeah, isn't, I thought that was a common thing.
Well, now, of course, it wouldn't even be remarked upon. But back then, because back then being in the Chancellor was a big, big deal. Mm. So this was their claim to fame. But their main claim to fame is that they were the first band to record Living Next Door to Alice. Theirs flopped. But Smokey's didn't. But we can listen to a little bit of it. Just play it. Listen very carefully to these lyrics.
Sally called when she got the word. She said, I suppose you've heard about Alice.
Sally called when she got the word. You've heard about Alice.
Well, I rushed to the window and I looked outside. But I could hardly believe my eyes.
Look to me, look, can't believe my eyes.
Alice's drive.
Big limousines rolled up to Alice's drive.
Oh, I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. Cause for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice. 24 years just waiting.
Okay. There's a limousine pulled up. Alice has got inside. She lives next door to him. Someone's had to phone him and say, look out your window, quick. Look, a limousine. Alice is leaving. 24 years waiting for a chance to tell her how I feel and maybe get a second glance. He's lived next door to her. He's a pervert in his front bedroom. He's lived next door to this one for 24 years. She's leaving. She's not even told him she's leaving. That's how much she cares about him. And yet he's been, 24 years, just waiting for a chance to tell her how I feel and maybe get a second glance. 24 years you've been looking at this woman through your curtains.
What a creep.
What a creep. You were kids together. You're telling me you didn't play together? Alice, I really like you. When you were 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you could have said, Alice, listen, would you be my girlfriend? No.
He's only got himself to blame.
You couldn't just man up for 2 minutes and say, listen, I really like you. Would you like to go out with me? What's the worst that could have happened? No, I really like you as a friend, but I don't. Okay, well, we'll stay friends. No, but you just sat there getting fatter and fatter, didn't you? And eating chocolate. And then starting drinking and taking drugs when you're about 15.
He's quite svelte. I'm looking at the video here. You see those cheekbones there?
No, that's not him.
Is that not him?
That's the fella off of Smokey.
Well, he's singing so impassionately.
Yeah, but he's talking about somebody.
I reckon the guy that originally wrote these lyrics was actually, like, sounded like a creeper. So I was like, for 25 years.
25 years, I mean. And who's this woman? Who's the one right at the beginning of the song who phones him up? I suppose you've heard about Alice. See, she's the one who actually wants him. Yeah, you got me. Oh, God, what must she look like? Yeah, she's gone now, Alice, the bitch. She's moved out.
Well, maybe this guy and the girl that called up could finally
because they deserve each other. They deserve a snitch, a grass, and a pervert. Who's been sitting there with his Star Wars toys, looking through the window. Oh, Alice has got a boyfriend now. I'm watching them.
I'd like to think they're both in their mid-90s.
It's a hateful song. It really is. I never include that in my package of songs that don't make no sense. Because they just don't make sense. Like Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak don't make any sense at all.
Is that AC/DC's Jailbreak?
Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak.
AC/DC's Jailbreak.
AC/DC may have covered Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak.
No, that's an AC/DC song, surely.
Which song are you talking about? How's it go?
Jailbreak.
Lots of songs for Jailbreak.
I can't think of the lyrics.
Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak.
No, it's a different one.
It's a different one. And the one that makes no sense is the Thin Lizzy one.
Right.
Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. Right, let me narrow it right down for you. I'll tell you exactly where it's going to be. And the other one, of course, is David Gates wrote it. David Gates off of Bread, who was a superb songwriter. And Telly Savalas had a hit single with it. Do you know that song, If?
No.
If a man could be two places at one time, I'd be with you tomorrow and today, beside you all the way. No, that's not two places at one time. That's the same
place two different times.
That's the exact opposite of what you, of the proposal that you've set forth. Exact. That's diametrically opposed to what you initially said.
Basically, what he's saying is he wants a time traveling clone, but he didn't say the time traveling bit in his,
proposal. I've realised
the key details
between the lines of this verse. I've realised that a man couldn't be two places at one time, but what about if a man could be two times in the same place? Yeah, that's possible. Well, you can do that. You can be with her tomorrow and today.
Just stay in the same place.
Yeah, just hang out. Just stick with her.
Yeah, but there's nothing supernatural about that. You don't have to wish for that. Oh, I wish I could be two places at one time.
That's
being
a bit stalkerish by standing next to her the whole time.
You know what that is? That's like living next door to Alice. 24 years.
Maybe that's the same story, just interlinked.
24. I bet he never even spoke to her. Oh, I bet he did, but only when he knew she couldn't hear. She was just too far away, and he'd go, Alice, I love you.
No, he spoke to her today and tomorrow in two different places.
Beside her, all the way.
I bet her name wasn't even Alice.
Oh God! I bet his name's Ad. Oh, I bet she's not a real person. I bet she's a. I bet she's a dummy. He's dressed up in his mother's clothes. I've gone slightly too far there. John, I can remember going into any branch of Woolworths to purchase an item and walk out with a lot more than I walked in with. That was fantastic. It was famous for two things, Woolworths. It was famous for big boxes, big nets full of balls, footballs, plastic balls. And also because when they went bust and everyone said, oh, this is terrible, all those people laid off. Everyone said, if we hadn't nicked all them sweets and driven them into bankruptcy. Is this it? What is it? 57 what?
15.
That's without a talk up.
Without a talk up, no talk up. So you got 5 seconds.
5 seconds. What could I possibly do in 5 seconds? I'm back tomorrow. Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue. Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.